Is there any like part of that with like life in general where like, ooh, that could have gone a little bit further towards the Patrice way and I'd be gone, like,
right,
maybe this is like borrowed time, or do you not even like think like that?
I don't think like that. You know, I know somebody said, oh, what you call? Oh, yeah, let's see you now because you're not going to be here too long. I'm like, fuck you.
Damn.
Yeah. Somebody said that. I'm like, damn, what does he know? And I thought, wait, does he know something?
Everybody loves Keith Robinson. That is just a fact of stand-up comedy. Everybody loves him. Well, shit on him. Shit on him a lot. But that doesn't mean they don't love him. So I had him on my podcast this week, and it got me thinking. So I had him on. He had a heart attack, and I've never really had anybody have a heart attack. And you might call it a stroke, but that's because you're not willing to admit you had a fucking heart attack. I love these people who are like, no, no, it's this other thing and not that. Or like, if you ever call an Egyptian person an Arab, and they're like, we're not Arab. We're Egyptian. I'm like, what's the difference? And they're like, they go into it, and then you're like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of Arab talk to me. Or Persians, people from Iran. Okay, I'll even give you, you're not Iranian. I give you, you're Persian. But like, you know what I mean. When we say Arab, we mean the whole fucking Middle East, minus Israel. And, wait, why did I say this? Oh, so you could say, no, that was just a stroke. One time Joey Diaz, how is he still around? I mean, when you think about Joey Diaz, one of my first memories of him, I was working at the Comedy Store. The phone room, it's upstairs, and to get in to the phone room, you had to go up some stairs. It was a 70, I don't know, 73, 75 degree Los Angeles day, like you always get in LA. And Joey came up to the phone room where I was working. God, it started raining again. Fuck. And pouring sweat. Now, this is cocaine Joey Diaz. This is heavy coke use Joey Diaz. So he might have been out all night. I don't know. He comes up and he goes, fuck, turn the air conditioning on, dog. It's sweltering in here. And he fucking pouring sweat. And then when you see, like, when Freddie Soto died, we're like, Freddie didn't outlive Joey. You know why? Because Joey's used to the coke. He had it in his system, so you can't fuck him over. When Peg Bundy got a personal trainer, eventually the personal trainer started, who's going to win? Peg Bundy's lifestyle or the personal trainer? Peg Bundy's did. And the personal trainer started sitting on the couch eating bonbons. He died of a heart attack. Couldn't take it. Peg Bundy's heart was strong. One time, we were in Chicago. This is what I was saying. And we had some pot cookies. Some fan gave us a bunch of pot cookies. Diaz looked at all of us eating. It wouldn't take any. As soon as the guy took one of his own, Joey's like, all right, give me the fucking seven. He had a stroke or something. And I told him once, I was like, dude, didn't you have a stroke? He goes, no, my heart's strong, dog. It was a minor, I don't know. But he called it a stroke. It's a heart attack. Fucking, of course it's a heart attack. Now, he lived another fucking 15 years and is still alive. He could walk. He had knee surgery. He can walk, unlike Tom Segura, who will never walk again, you know? So Keith Robinson had a heart attack. And again, it might be a stroke, but I'm not even talking about that. So I wanted him in for that. But then we started talking about... So Keith is... A lot of people point to Keith Robinson as not an inspiration, because he's not inspirational. In fact... Looking at his life and thinking about his life makes you want to kill yourself. But as someone who really helped them in comedy, Big J and Metzger and who's the fucking short black dude? His name I can never remember. Kevin Hart. Keith Robinson helped them all get out of fucking Philadelphia. He helped them all get out of there and start their careers in New York. But he didn't have to do that. He was just like, he cares about stand-up comedy. It's one of the things that really draws me to him. Now, he will make you want to quit stand-up comedy. I had a tweed suit I got from H&M. I passed by. It was at H&M on Sunset Boulevard near my old apartment, near the Comedy Store. passed by it once, and I was like, oh, that looks fucking badass. Patches on the fucking, you know, the good style. And I went back and I got it, and it looks fucking cool. It was just, it's this gray suit. I think I wore it on Legion of Skank Selection at some point. I've worn it before. And I came into the Comedy Cellar, and Keith Robbins was there at the back table. And he just obliterated me. He just fucking shit on me for 5 minutes. It is as if he had written a monologue about my suit. Just shitting on it. I look like a fucking substitute teacher. Well, I got to get back to pedophilia. It was just so much shit. I look stupid. And at the end, he was like, never wear that suit again. The waitress was passing by right then. She goes, I like it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm not like in high school anymore. It's not going to stop me from wearing it. I bought it. No, I wasn't taking a chance fashion-wise. I knew what I was doing. So it wasn't going to stop me from getting it on there. So I wear it again. But that's who he is. And he does that shit out of love. Actually, no. He does it out of hate. But he'll do it to people he loves. So that's it. Oh, buddy, get out of here. And Keith, he goes out of his way to help. So all these new, there's this new group of comics in New York. I call them the Philly Blacks. And they're not all blacks. Monroe Martin, Derek Gaines, Chris Cotton, rest in peace. Reggie Conquest, who's open from before. If you came to the Dallas show or Austin or we didn't do a show in Austin. Dallas and Houston, he opened for me there. He goes out of his way to fucking help these people. In fact, actually, so me and Reggie, we landed. We were going to go to a Cowboy game. We're both Cowboys fans. And it was like, we went to Dallas. Then we drove to Houston, tried to do a hike. Reggie tried his best, but he ain't a hike person. Fucking rode horses. We took horseback riding lessons. It was part of the Sober October Challenge Yourself thing. And then Bert and Tom and Ro, all they did was like do rich people shit where they just like made fun, like crazy videos. And I actually tried to learn stuff. Anyway, drove back to Dallas. But when we got our car in Dallas at the airport, so we're at the rental place and I get it. And Reggie's open for Keith Robinson on the road too. And I get it. Unlock the door. And Reggie goes to the front seat, goes in and gets in the driver's seat. And I was like, what are you doing, Reg? And he was like, I'm driving. I was like, what do you mean you're driving? I didn't even put you on the fucking insurance. I'm driving. I rented the car. And he was like, oh. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, usually I drive. I'm like, when are you open for who? He's like, Keith. I guess Keith sits in the fucking passenger seat and sleeps while his opener fucking drives the whole way. And Jay said the same shit. Big Jay said the same shit. Which I don't mind. A lot of openers, a lot of headliners will make the opener sell merch for him. Keith is like, you fucking drive, noob. Until they get big enough. They're like, fuck you, Keith, you drive. So he can drink all his wine. Anyway, he's a great guy. And he looks out for these guys. So there's a group of comics. I call them the Philly Blacks. And there are a couple white guys in there. But they're a fucking young, good group of like together comics. They just have this real camaraderie. And really, Keith brought them from Philadelphia to New York so they can like grow and become who they are. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack one day and we're all worried. We're like, fuck, is this going to be the end of Keith Robinson? Is he done? And it's not. We all danced around it, too. We're like, ooh, should we mention, like, the arm is all fucked up? He went right to it. He went right to it. So we make fun of it a little bit, but then it got old. That's what you do. If you have some sort of malady or some sort of, like, difference, just make fun of it. Let everybody make fun of you for a little bit. Then it gets hacky and old, and then eventually you're like, I don't really want to do this anymore. So we talked about his heart attack, but first we talked about the Philly Blacks and the whole comedy scene in general. He's a fucking smart guy. He's been around for like, I think like 65, 70 years in stand-up. So he's seen everything. He was around, you know, when the Rat Pack was there. He was already like 20 years into comedy. Lenny Bruce, he was already like 30, 40 years into comedy by then. So he's seen it. It was a fun conversation. Actually, you know what? I got to stop really quickly to pay some bills. So if you don't mind, we'll be right back with more introduction. But first, a word from our sponsor. Guys, today's episode is sponsored by 3chi.com. That's right, you guys. Yet again, I am not doing a sponsorship for Kodak, Xerox, Johnson & Johnson, Nabisco products. None of those. It's drugs. That's all his sponsor is. It's drugs. And it's not like I'm some degenerate that it was like, oh, I guess I'll stoop to this. I love drugs. I love them. It goes along with everything I've been saying. You should do whatever will get you there. And there's a new one out. There's a new one out. That's right. It's Crocodile. No, it's not Crocodile. You should look up Crocodile, though. That is the most hardcore fucking... It's heroin for like... It's like a meth that makes regular meth heads go like, damn, you guys are doing Crocodile? It's Russian meth. It's Russian meth for like, oh, all right, guys, just don't do Crocodile. I will tell you the negative side effects of Crocodile before I get into this 3-Chi ad read. 3-Chi, this does not count as your ad read yet. But 3-Chi is now, I guess, technically sponsoring this tutorial on the drug Crocodile. So one of the negative side effects is it eats away your skin until your bones are exposed. Literally, your bones will just be out. Look at people in the hospital. You can just see their skeleton like coming through. It looks like someone had a microscope through your skin. It's horrific. And you might think like, well, why would someone do that? Because of the high, man. Because it gets you there. Now starts a sponsorship where it will not eat away at your skin. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by 3-Chi. That's the number 3-CHI.com. It's the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Now, this is not regular old CBD. This is psychoactive. It'll get you fucked up. 3-Chi's Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. What it does is gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Damn, really? Wait, what? Dude, that's fucking important. You ever fucking take some fucking THC edibles and then you just get super fucked up and you can't do shit and then you think everyone's out to get you? Well, I guess 3chi.com. And it retails around the country. You won't get like that. But you got to be 21 to purchase it. That's the problem. You can't use your parents' allowance money to purchase this. You got to earn your own. Remember, this is not CBD. CBD is something different. This is psychoactive. It says it'll give you a buzz. But I'll translate that to the Ari face. It's going to get you fucked up. And I will reiterate this over and over again. If you have noticed at Gas Digital, I'm not on Gas Digital, but if you've noticed on Gas Digital a lower level of quality of production lately, it is because 3chi.com has been sponsoring and sending hella drugs, hella 3-Chi Delta 8 products to the Gas Digital studio offices. And all those fucking degenerate podcast editors and producers have been on it, and their work has suffered. So if you want to get fucked up to the point where the Gas Digital people are, where they can't do their work right, I'd say go 3chi.com. And if you use the code SKEPTIC at checkout, that's SKEPTIC, get 5% off your order. 3chi.com, one-stop shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used as homemade edibles. Personally, I would go with the gummies and the tinctures. I'm not going to make homemade oils. If you're that kind of fucking productive, then fucking enjoy making your hemp shirts. But those gummies and tinctures are great. Those tinctures you drop right in a fucking drink, and then you drink it. Social handles for distribution. Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's at 3-Chi CBD. But it's not CBD? Anyway, guys, listen, the point is, go to 3chi.com, use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout, get 5% off your order. Now, let's get back to the episode. Thank you, 3-Chi, for sponsoring this. All right, thank you. That was a word from our sponsor. So, that's his legacy. That's Keith Robinson's legacy, is someone who looked out for people. And I didn't know, but I found out during this podcast that he's a paid regular at the Comedy Store, got passed by Mitzi Shore, and his name is not on the wall of the Comedy Store. Adam Egit, if you're listening, I don't know if you're alive. I know you eat a lot of donuts, so you might not be alive anymore. You should put Keith's name on this fucking wall, man. That's not cool. He's not the kind of guy that would follow up and fucking try to get it on there. But I've always wanted to know about heart attacks. That's the thing I wanted him on. What's that feel like? What were you nervous? Are you ever going to fucking get this? I forget which side of his body again it is. Oh, dude, the best one was Rich Voss. He's hosting, I think, or Keith was hosting at the stand after the. It's not my joke. It's Keith's joke. I mean, it's Rich's joke. I can't say it. Fucking good joke, though. So let's start the episode. No reason to do a fucking long one, I say. Let's just get right to it. You guys, if you don't mind, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just click right down there. There's a button called subscribe. So you get notified of new. The next, I think I got one remote. Maybe I'll do another one too. So maybe two remote podcasts in the next 2 or 3 months. The rest are all in studios. The ones I recorded before I left. So, you know, you get that special thing where you fucking write with somebody. Hit subscribe on YouTube. My Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. I have a new bonus podcast every week-ish. Sometimes with other comedians, but always exclusive to Patreon. And then also, I got new merch up there. Also just exclusive for Patreon. So anyway, go on there and support me. But regardless, everybody, right now is not about that. Right now is about Keith fucking Robinson, a legend in the comedy game. I mean, I'm telling you, you ask anybody in New York, how do you feel about Keith Robinson? And they'll be like, fuck him. But they'll say it with a smile because he's a fucking great guy who looks out for everybody. And I've been in trouble here or there. And Keith's always like, you know, support. He never takes a side like, fuck you, man. Even when I've done shit that you could tell he doesn't like. I made fun of Aretha Franklin dying and you could tell it was like, this ain't cool. And then him and Bobby Kelly texted me when, who's the guy that Trump called a coward? John McCain. He said he's not a hero because it got captured. He said a hero would have not been captured. As long as you don't view Trump as someone who has control of your life, as long as you just view him as some fucking celebrity talk show host, he's pretty fucking funny. So when John McCain died shortly after, he goes, where's your fucking McCain tweet if you're not racist? So I threw one up. I forget what I even wrote, but the Aretha Franklin was one of my best ones. It was something like Aretha Franklin showed a generation of black people that big can be beautiful, thereby damning a whole culture to an epidemic of diabetes and obesity. Burn in hell, monster. Yeah, I didn't like that. But he's still not going to fucking do anything outwardly. He's just going to go, didn't sit well with me. And that's it. And that's why he's a fucking great guy. Nah, that's not why he's a great guy. But that goes into it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank with Keith Robinson starts now. Serious as a heart attack begins now.
Just start. I'll do an introduction later, but Keith is here.
Yeah, I'm here. We do what we do.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to be here.
We're talking about social media.
Social, just being around there. Like years ago, there was Pal Talk. It was a thing called on AOL, Pal Talk.
And
you meet the girls, and Robert Kelly taught me Pal Talk, and I was all on Pal Talk looking for world, getting in their sessions, looking for filth. Yeah. Let's be honest. I'm looking for filth. The first time you look at it, you're going for filth. Nobody in the room, you're like, yes, filth.
Yeah, exactly.
And so as it went along, it was good then. But then people found a way to figure out, wait a minute. Let's see, we're going to push the envelope a little bit. So I logged on. This girl got me on Messenger.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook Messenger. She said, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh, how you doing?
That's the dream.
Yeah. But, you know, and all of a sudden she's like, yeah, you want to see whatever? I'm like, yeah, tits? And I'm like, yeah, show me your tits. You want to see this? She showed me everything.
You're like, I sure do, man.
Yeah, yes, I do. I'll take some more. They said, come on, pull it out for me. I said, what? She said, pull it out. I said, sure.
Yeah.
I pulled it out. And was going at it. I pulled it out, was going at it, you know.
Yeah.
I said, you like that? Yeah, I like that. And then she said, call me back when you get in your house. Okay, I'll call you. But she called me. She said, all right, Keith, tell you what. If you don't, you call me right now and then offer me a price. Or I'm going to put everything on Facebook.
What, like all the transcripts and everything?
Yeah, me jerking off or whatever.
What?
But she didn't realize she had the wrong one. I'm like, sure. How's it look, though? Is it big enough? Oh, shoot. So I'm not playing, neither am I, dummy. I don't care.
You're like, I'm a comedian.
I'm a comedian. I'm not a politician, you idiot. Put it out.
I'm a comedian and I got a nice hog. What are you talking about? This would be lovely.
Yeah, like, what are you? Come on.
There was some NHL player they tried to do that to. Some chick, like, took a picture of this guy. She just fucked. And she was sleeping next to him, and she goes, she was trying to shake him down. He's like, pay me or I'll put this out. He goes, I'm single. What are you going to put out? You're hot. That's going to make my teammates be jealous of me.
like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But that's what it is now. People are hustling that way. You know, they got my cousin, called his wife on the phone.
Really?
And said, yeah, he's been in jerking off. She was nervous. What do I do? He said, yeah. Tell him you wasn't giving me any.
That's a tough one when they go to your lady.
I don't care. You can't care. You run from a bully, they'll chase you.
Yeah.
As soon as you run, they're chasing after you.
Just be like, right?
That's right, a good one. Yeah. Did you like that?
We can do more of that.
There's a whole lot of scams out here.
Dude, it's like the internet's opened up a world of like new, like opportunities, but also new scams.
Oh,
like
a lot of scams. Everybody's trying to see if they can get you.
We knew these guys used to hang out at the Comedy Store, and one of their cousins. It was like these, like, I guess young musicians or something like that. They would hang out all the time, and they're like, our cousin got like became like an asshole. We're like, what happened? Like, he thought he had a bunch of money coming to him from a fucking Nigerian prince. And then he started big timing all of us. And I'm like, no fucking way.
He fell for that scam.
He fell for that one. And he goes, and he was like, you guys are going to be fucking sorry soon. And he started being the dick. And they're like, what? And when they found out, they just died. And he goes, it's real. And I'm like, good luck with that.
I'm almost scam proof now. Almost. Because
you have no shame. So you're like,
no shame, no nothing. Because yeah, I did it. I talk about it on stage. I talk about my prostitution thing for years and years. I've talked about that. So what?
Yeah,
you know,
that's how like they come up to people like Dice, and it's like, what? I've never been a nice person. You're gonna get me like being like Ellen. Ellen pretends to be nice. Like Dice is always like, I've tried to be a dick.
Hey, you don't see me dancing. When you ever catch me dancing?
Yeah. The only way you can catch someone like Dice is if he accidentally like gives charity. Yeah. And he'd be like, no, turn that off, turn that off. No one can know.
I found it so, like, in the neighborhood, everybody always go, gangsters move in silence.
In what?
In silence.
Yeah.
That's the whole, you know, that's the thing. Gangsters move in silence. You don't talk. But now every gangster is talking. Social media, they want to make money. They have their Facebook page, they have the YouTube page. All the gangsters are talking. Yo, stop. Da 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 da. Yeah, I kill people. I do everything. If you like what I just said, hit that subscribe button for me. Press that. Hit like. Hey, subscribe. You know, so it's.
Dude, it's
like,
fucking nuts. It's like a whole new. Like, everything's new. How to handle it.
So everybody's too cool because everybody's talking. Everybody feels as though they got to come up with content so yeah. They're even making it up. So if you got to talk all day, every day, you got to make up something to say.
Yeah, it's like you ever go do like morning radio on the road, and then you're like, you just, I mean, some of them are good, some of them are bad, but sometimes it's like, oh, is this a dry day for you guys? Do you have nothing going on? Like some of them were all, you know, when you go to O&A and shit, but yeah, like, that was always fun. And then when you go to like, some of them, it's just like, God, take some college, you guys. I don't know. Is there nothing to talk about? So they're just like trying to find something.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about, but, you know, people are now becoming their own news.
Yeah.
They're, you know, like comics and everything. So they feel as though they got to say something every day. There's no way I can't talk every day. I just can't do it. Like every day, just yap about nothing.
I think that's what gets a bunch of comics to like sell out their friends.
Right.
You've seen that, right?
Right. I see all the comics. What do you mean? Some. There's a lot of them that just sell them out. Like,
well, I've done it too, man. And I fucking hated it when I've done it. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
But you see, that's great right there. That you can admit that. Because I see a lot of stuff. That I know a lot of stuff, but I keep my mouth shut.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But because you know why?
What?
I'm going to tell you why. When I was a kid, right, I remember going to the table with mom and her, where they were gossiping. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what else they say? And yeah. I got punched right from the table. And <'Cause they're> like, going for the yapping so much. And back then, like, you stopped talking like a woman. They would actually tell you that. You can't say that now, but my mom would say, they stopped talking like a woman. Sound like a little girl. Beat it. And I'm like, I just wanted to say some things. So that's why I learned not to yap that much. Yeah. When I hear some stuff. And sometimes you can't help it. Some good, juicy stuff.
Well, it's like this gossip, and then there's one of these in front of you. And sometimes you forget the line, you know? It was like the same, without these, the same conversation. Like, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah. And you're like, right. And then you're like, add this. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. This microphone is like a lasso. You know, the Wonder Woman's lasso make you just yap.
Yeah. God, I feel like, you ever do something and then like think about it or see an old set of yourself bombing? And you get like cringy, embarrassed.
A lot.
Yeah, because you're
been
like,
around.
That was me. I think about this same shit. And I'm like, fuck, I fucked up in the past. I've tried to just apologize to people. I'd be like, hey, I was way off. Shouldn't have done that. My bad. And just kind of live with it. But fuck.
Well, you know, like back in, like I did something on BET in like 86.
That's about the right time for BET.
Yeah, that's what's going on now. Yeah, so I was on BET. It was me, Chris Rock, Steve White, whatever.
Who was Steve White? Undercover Jew.
Yeah. So, you know, me, I looked at Chris Rock. I'm like, I can't stand him. So I wanted to get him no matter what. I just wanted to get him.
Yeah.
And I knew he loved Eddie Murphy. So, you know, I'm like, Eddie Murphy's a thief. And I'm just yapping. But I didn't know that back then. You know, I'm just going at it because I wanted to get him.
Yeah.
I'm saying all sort of stuff.
Trying to bait him?
Yeah. Just,
just trying to like.
Yeah. And like Chris has always been good with the information of how he give you these one-liners that's so great. It's hard to, like I said, I'm from Philly. In Philly, we work out. He said, yeah, well, in New York, we're working for something. We're not just working out. We're working to be on HBO, working to be. And I've just, I've shrunk in my city. And I didn't expect to come back. But it was so good. But I didn't realize that I'll ever have a chance to meet Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So that's why I was yapping so much. I'm like, yeah, Eddie, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize that, okay, because you don't see yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, meet, how do I meet this guy?
Right, you see yourself as a high schooler still, you know? I'm like, I'm not going to meet a guy I saw in a movie. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so, and you know, so when I seen him, you know, like Kev said, kid, this is Eddie. I'm like, whew. But, you know, I'm like,
I think I said.
My big mouth, I did the same thing with Sinbad.
Really?
Just yapping. I said, this guy had my girlfriend there. We were seeing Luther Vandross. And I'm like, yeah, this guy stinks. He's one of those Star Search guys. But eventually I was on Star Search.
And then you got to eat that. You got to be like, fuck, I'm a hypocrite. And you just try to like bury it.
Yeah.
No, Star Search is better now.
But I seen him perform. He wrecked the place like I've never seen anybody wreck a place. But yeah, he's a monster.
I heard he's seen him at
18,000 seater. And it was Luther Vandross, Anita Baker. He destroyed like I'd never seen before. My girl's like, I thought you said he wasn't funny. I'm like, I don't know.
I heard he used to do these corporates for like Palm Pilot or something. And then he'd be like, I'll give you 20 minutes of my regular stuff and I will write 20 minutes on your fucking corporation on Palm Pilot or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's so clean. He would just crush.
He just would crush.
But no comic respects him.
Yeah, but they...
I don't know what that is.
They should. He's a monster. You see him... Like him back then, I seen him and I seen Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Leno was like... I seen Jay Leno in 84. And I'm like, another one of these corny... You know, man, I'm a black guy, so I'm like another one of these corny white guys.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was a monster.
Leno.
I used to hear that, but...
Goodness gracious.
Really?
He was a monster. Boom! 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 I'm like, ugh. And you know, coming from, I'm a black guy from the hood, so I'm like, oh, white guys are corny. That's what you know, except for George Carlin. Mm-hmm. White guys are corny, except for George Carlin.
Yeah. He was like, almost like not white. He was so Irish, he was like, back to like an immigrant or something.
But, you know, that was but you just think that way when you're not in the
Yeah,
in
when
the
I business. Started, everybody said, like, the second best comic of all time was Jay Leno. And Jay we were Leno. Like, what are you talking? We only knew him from The Tonight Show, from, like, jaywalking and those corny things. And it was like, what?
I'm happy I got to see him live.
Damn.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Then you see all the white guys, you're like, ooh. All right, I was wrong. Right. I had to tell all the people in the neighborhood, hey, come around, gather around. White guys are funny, too.
Guys, words in. Black guys figured it out. when there, like when you were starting, you started in Philly, right?
Yeah, 84.
84. And when did you move to New York?
I moved to, me and Wanda moved together. In New Jersey, which is a half hour away.
It's here.
So we're 92.
Wait, she was starting with you in like, or you were, she was coming up with you in Philly?
I met Wanda in Baltimore, who I got to Baltimore to do Comedy Factory
Outlet. CFO?
Yeah, and across from that was
the old Gavin, CFO?
The old CFO.
I did a guest spot there. Yeah. No, I took a date there in college. And yeah. It was a fun night.
Yeah.
We went twice, actually. We saw an MC, and then there was the same MC, like, 3 months later. And we're like, this is so cool. And he did the same jokes. And we're like, what?
Well, in that era, it was like Patton Oswalt, Blaine Capatch.
Oh, wow.
That's when I met them in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, Baltimore and Philly is, like, not the same, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah, it's close, you know, right up the street. That was my first road trip. Wow. I'm like, Mom, I'm going on the road. You go to Baltimore.
38 minutes.
You fucking idiot.
Pick me up something from the fucking Burlington Coat Factory while you're there. It's like. And then you guys both decided, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's move.
Yeah. Well, I called her and said, look, we got to move. Because with Chris Rock, when Chris Rock said that line, and I was on her, like, hey, it's what's called the place to be. You know, and New York is a place to be. And Ralph Harris was in, you know, I had a group, everybody, called Comedy Express, all black group.
Yeah.
Full of comics like Tony Woods, all of us. And we.
Philly
like
guys or New York guys?
It's Philly guys.
Okay.
In Philly, I had that, you know, the Comedy Express was a little group that we had.
Sketch? No,
it's not sketch, just stand up.
Dude, there's a group like that now.
Oh.
When I moved here, I just call them, I mean, this is not their name, I call them the Philly Blacks.
Oh, you mean Monroe and them?
Yeah, and Reggie and all these people from
They want to be like us, but we actually had to make us official, we all had the black satin jackets.
No,
like,
you did not.
No, oh, wait a minute.
It's no fucking way.
You had black
matching outfits?
Come on, matching. No fucking way. We had matching outfits. And it's Comedy Express.
Fucking way. What dorks. Come on. Imagine satin outfits like a fucking biker gang. Like a dance troupe.
Yeah. It was the worst but the best.
Let me see. Oh my God. Oh, Ralph Harris. Damn.
Yeah.
Wow, you're fucking young. Oh my God!
You know, that was us. You know what I mean?
You look like Tony. Like you look like some sort of like Velvet DeVoe type.
So who are those two guys in the back?
One guy he passed away from COVID. That's Rocky Wilson, who's in North Carolina now.
Damn, you know a guy that died in COVID? Fuck, dude.
Yeah, man.
Fuck.
So, man, did I just bring that one down?
Sorry, yeah. I was just talking to somebody the other day because I was like, or yesterday, I was like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm going to lose some friends with this. And then I was like, hey, I haven't seen a single comic really past it. I think we're okay. And so then I was like, no. People
now
lost.
Now we got to go through the second wave as we're sneaking around trying to do comedy.
I like it. I like the way it's like. I'm not even going to say where we perform, but like, because it's sort of illegal, but like, it's like socially conscious illegal. It's not, they're not crammed in.
I love it.
It's like, we're doing this safely.
We're doing it safely.
But we're going around the system. But like, if Cuomo came down, he'd be like, you can't. No, everybody's spaced out. This is fine. Don't tell anybody, but you can do this.
Keep your mouth shut. Yeah. We're good.
Exactly. Don't post about it.
Because that's what people that just meet me at a door, knock on the door, and I'll come get you. Huh? I got to get a password. What's the password? Hack 95.
The shows kind of suck too.
Oh, they're awful.
They're really, this outdoor stuff that we would always pass up before, like, no, I'm not doing an outdoor show. Thanks anyway. And,
when I was there, like, I won 0-7 that one club that we know.
Yeah.
I just kept taking it right in the dumb face, huh?
I had like 3 good sets and like 10 bad ones. And those 3, you're like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It's better when you go up early with Sypha and Will hosting.
Yeah.
Because at least they run it like it's outdoors.
Yeah, it's outdoors. It's what it's like. But I didn't have them, but I still was just taking them. I could have had them, whoever. I could have had the best MC around. I was just taking. Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
It's also that you got to be loud.
Yeah, you got to be whatever.
And that's just not you anyway.
Yeah, and Adam, you know, I used to, when I was younger in comedy, I'd look at some, like my old Powell set, and I wanted to sound just like Pryor. You guys are crazy. I'm looking at myself. I'm like, oh my God, I won't even post this. This is so bad. I'm not going to even say this because it's that bad.
Really?
Because I caught myself actually trying to be Pryor.
Dude, so there's all these, like, you know how they have like college coaches and they coached a player who eventually became their own college coach, like Adolph Rupp coached like Dean Smith and shit like that, and it just goes kind of down the line. I think there's that with comics too. So like the whole Houston scene is still recovering from Hicks and Kinison. They're trying to be one of those two guys still to this day. And they're like, I didn't know about black comics just because like there weren't many when I started in LA at the store. It was like Ian Edwards.
There had to be.
Owen Smith.
There had to be more black comics.
But Steve was like.
Well, for the store, all the black comics was at the black rooms.
Well, Mixed Nuts and shit like that.
No, they were at the one where Robin Harris was at. Like,
that's before my time.
Yeah, Robin Harris and all of them was at, what's that? I forget the name of the club, but they were all at the black club.
Down there.
Yes, and they would kill there. And Robin Harris didn't want to come to the store and all that. That's what Damon Wayans would come through. He didn't want nothing to do with it. Because, you know, they would go, that's that white guy shit.
Yeah.
And mainstream. They call it mainstream. And after a while, I'm like, wait, no. Everybody knows about this place.
Like, what does that mean, mainstream? Yeah. That means people can't get it.
Because that's what you, as a black comic, you're faced with that challenge. You got to take the Pepsi challenge.
What do you mean?
In other words, you got to go perform at that black room. That's a little rougher.
Yeah.
You know, the black crowds are sitting there, who this motherfucker coming up here? You know, so you got to take that Pepsi challenge. And I, you know, that's a good thing. That's one thing. White guys never have to perform at an all-black club if they don't want to.
If they don't want to.
Black guys.
Well, Jay had this too, where he'd perform in black rooms.
Jay.
And I did it just because, like, no one else would have me. So, like, Buddy Lewis and Kim Whitley, they would be like, you can go up if you want to, like, their, like, one night a week room. But, like, you'd walk to the stage and you'd see the crowd, like, who the fuck, what are you doing here? It's like they already turned on you before you even grabbed the mic. It was just like a hatred. I'm like, I'm just trying to get stage time. And man, when you bomb in front of blacks, it's a different, it's not a polite bomb.
No, well, it's like I had two kind of bombs in front of, I've bombed everywhere you can bomb in front of black crowds. It's like white crowds, I never cared. Like, because they're usually drunk. We had one of the worst ones, and but black crowds are in control. One woman was fanning herself as an older crowd.
Yeah.
And she just said, baby, you getting on my nerves. And there's no way you can heckle. Like, you old bitch. What? You just
go to be like, shut up, ma'am.
Yeah. So, you know, I bombed every way I could bomb in front of the black crowds.
Damn.
Anyway.
Yeah, they'll make you stronger, though. But it's weird that it was so separated. Yeah, and then, like, well, later, guys like, who was the dude that went to Curb Your Enthusiasm?
JB.
JB Smoove.
Yeah.
JB Smoove and Earthquake and like, later Scroncho and people like that. But, like, they just never performed. Right. And that's the black night at the store, Tuesday night, so for What's-His-Name's room with the teeth. We got Guy Tori.
Guy Tori, yeah.
Otherwise, we would just never see, like, actual black comedy.
You know? Because y'all didn't go. Have to go to, I forget the doggone name of the rooms, but they had the rooms all around.
The one on Pico?
I think so. Well,
that was Nick's Nuts after a while.
J. Anthony Brown had a room there. It was a lot. It was rooms that they had that they didn't have to. But yeah. I thought white guys should do the black rooms, and black guys should do the mainstream rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, a lot of the black guys were scared of doing the white rooms because they were so used to the language being geared to. Because a lot of times, I guess they were catering, pandering. Well, there's to the whole black.
There's
crowd.
Pandering to every type of room,
right?
So it doesn't matter where you start. You figure out how to pander, and you could. It's like a give it up for the troops and for an applause break.
Then you figure out how to not pander. Because, you know, at a certain point, you're like, it's always, when you start comedy at your purest form,
yeah,
like you just goofy, you're you. But then when you get yeah. into it more and more, everybody say, you should do this, you should do that, you should do the other thing. Then you become somebody else's creation. And then you finally go back to yourself. I'm like, this is what I'm going to be now in front of any crowd. So now I'm what I am in front of anybody because I don't care. I'm not here to. If you don't like me, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I've seen this like switch in people in comics. Right. I don't know where maybe seven to 12 years in.
Yeah,
where it's like, I'm not here for you. You guys are here for me. Right. I'm just doing this.
I'm doing
come
this.
Along for the ride or don't. By the first year, it's like, what can I do? What can I do?
I was dancing for dollars.
Yeah,
you know, dancing. You know, I tell this story all the time. When I first got on stage, it was 84, of course, and I had my hat on, my gazelle glasses, my, you know, designer glasses,
yeah.
straight up my hat, bent over, whatever. And the guy, Mike Green, said I was scaring the audience. He told me how you're leaning in, you're so aggressive. I'm like, what? I don't know, but so be it. So 2 years in, my whole language changed and all that. Everything was different. That hood guy was a little calmed down now. Now I'm around a lot of white folks all of a sudden. So when I go back in the neighborhood, I just go, hey, how you guys doing? So, what the fuck are you, Potsy?
An old reference.
Yeah. You know, but that's how long ago that was.
Yeah. You're like, it was relevant then.
Yeah. But talk how you talk.
Yeah. That's what I had to figure out when I started doing black rooms, too. For a little while, like, I would try to talk black. And then people are like, dude, it's like, you're not Gary Owen. Like, stop. Like, it's just phony.
Right, right.
And then you're just like, oh, I'll just talk like myself. And then you can tell the crowd's like, yeah, it's fine. We're still not going to like you, but at least you're not embarrassing yourself now.
But that's what it was with, you know, white crowds and all that, is just learning to be yourself.
By the way, this same thing happens with, like, alt comics.
Right.
We used to see those alt comics at Largo and the UCB later, and they were like, refuse to come to the Comedy Store.
Good.
And then a couple of them would like, hey, I'll do the. Louis was like an alt comic hero. He was like, I'll go to the store.
They loved Louis in New York. When it came through New York, I was
the
like.
The alt comedy virus?
The virus.
Yeah. Don't worry about jokes. Just kind of meander.
You know, I would treat alt comics like they were slaves. Come on, who's harboring those alt comics? I know you're harboring some alt comics.
You're friends with one.
I saw
his cardigan. Who was that guy you were talking to?
No, but then you, like, everything is everything now. Even that has disappeared. And then everybody, you got to be funny or not funny.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
I like that it's like, go up, do well.
Go, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
it's
it.
Really blurred. Those lines are blurred.
I hated all comics when it ended. I mean, I couldn't Dan alt comics.
God, they fucking signed. They were so high in themselves.
I always felt like I almost felt what it was like to be racist.
Yeah. You're like, just that group. I hate that group. And everybody loved them too. Like the industry loved them.
Oh,
and
it was
like,
they're not even good.
You ever heard that Burr thing on his podcast once? He was talking about music comedy festivals and how all the alt comics were like, I need to go on first. And we're like, but you guys are the best ones, huh? I thought you were the best ones. And now all these fucking mainstream comics have to go clean it up at the end because you guys can't follow us.
Telling you stories.
Yeah.
Well, I hate it. But Patrice would always try to sneak off because they start loving him. They love Patrice. He starts sneaking and doing alt rooms.
And like, really?
He come back, You smell like those alts.
Patrice did alt rooms? That's crazy. Yeah, really?
Yeah, they loved him.
I mean, there's no reason not to. When you think about it, you ever hear the idea that the left is so woke, they're now racist?
Yeah.
You know, where they've gone too far overboard.
All right.
Alt comics have gone too far alt. But, like, I think they would have loved, like, Bill Hicks or Sam Kinison, except now they go so far that they would never love them.
Now they can't love them no more.
Yeah.
But I think it keeps going, though. And it'll correct itself in a minute.
What do you mean?
That the whole... See, I think on both sides, you can look at the phoniness on both sides. Like, the right say, oh, it's cancel culture. But yeah. They cancel. You say you don't like Trump, watch what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You say anything about Trump, oh, we used to like him, now we're finished with this guy. Wait a minute. You just talked about cancel culture. Now I said I couldn't stand Donald Trump. Now you're angry. You know, they got a Jim Gaffigan said something. They were, oh, Jim Gaffigan, he's a lefty. Jim doesn't look nowhere like a lefty. Yeah. I look at Jim. I get nervous. I'm like, oh, Jim, yeah.
All right. That's right. I already know him.
Yeah.
That's right. Hold on. Yeah.
But he's not, but people can have an opinion. So you get canceled on one side, you get canceled on the other side. Everybody wants you to agree with what they want you to agree with.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird to where it's like you can't just have an opinion.
Yeah.
You can't paint outside the lines.
Yeah.
You're like, I like punk rock.
That's
like,
what we do.
Mainstream rock and roll, and that's it. You're like, well, can't I like punk or rap? Like, no.
No.
Everyone's decided on one genre for the whole world for every opinion.
Pick a side. What am I going to say? I got to know where I can call you.
Yeah.
Are you a socialist? Like, you took a lot of young comics out to in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that went for breakfast, lunch, whatever it was. Are you a socialist?
You're what? Like, what? Can I just do something nice? Yeah, it's always comes right, to something. Like,
you got to be something to do something.
Yeah.
Because everybody want to paint you a certain way. Why can't you just be nice when you need to be nice?
It's weird, too, because now, because you know everybody's like, oh, you like Trump, you like this, and it's like... There's this new party I found where it's just like, you're not pro-Trump or pro-Biden or anything. You're just like, I think I can make you cry, and I think I can make you cry.
Right.
And you're like, I don't really care. I don't have any belief, but I'm like, I think you'll be upset about this. You know?
I know, but that's what comics are.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually the fire. I went to school, and, you know, in school I was just the guy who always was in trouble. I stayed in trouble in school.
Yeah.
Like elementary, junior high. In junior high, the principal, Mr. Holtwell, came to me like I was Ferris Bueller. Now, Keith, we have a special guest coming to speak. I don't want to hear none of your fucking shit. I'm like, all right, yeah. I don't want to hear sneezing because I would sneeze, belch, well, do everything in the whole, you know. And if I do hear any shit from you, I'm going to stuff you in those fucking lockers. You say,
straight to you. And you're like, well, I guess you got a reputation.
I kind of like it. I thought I was Braveheart or some shit. But that's the thing that I love throughout, to go against whatever just to aggravate.
Isn't that what Carlin said?
Yeah.
That's your job, is to find the line and step over it on purpose.
On purpose, and just a good laugh. My teacher picked me up over his head and threw me in a cloakroom. Like, threw me, boom. I'm like, oh. And then he opened it up, and I'm like, ugh. Yeah. And the class went nuts, and he said, you motherfucker, get out. Because all I cared about was that laugh. And I can get that laugh.
And then you got it. And it's such a better laugh than a fucking joke you heard.
Exactly. It was sweet, a sweet joke.
Dude, you've always been a guy, this is what everybody said, and I've seen it from like the young Philly Blacks and Jay and everything, where you seem to take, I don't know if it's just young comics in general or specific Philadelphia comics.
Oh.
Or you, I don't know if you want to be their godfather or what, but the charity is there. Like, you've looked out for them.
No, you know what it is? It's like a lot of comics anyway, because I didn't know nothing when I first started comedy. I didn't know, even like, I looked in the Help Wanted ads for a comedy club.
Really?
I didn't know how do you look for comedy clubs?
It's so blind.
So I was just blind, and then I had to learn as I go along, and it was so hard. especially being in Philly, because when Chris Rock made that statement, that meant a lot. It opened up a whole world of like, oh shit, if I'm staying in Philly just working out, I'm not doing shit.
Right.
So I'll be stuck in Philly, as a lot of people have, black and white comics, been stuck in Philly running on a hamster wheel, and then never left. And they just go on the road and do these shitty gigs. So when Chris opened up that light, and I'm like, oh shit, this is some good shit. So I guess I gotta like Chris now. I know, yeah. But you know, in all seriousness, it's like, oh, this guy really knows some shit. So I was able to spread that around to the young, to Dumb Jay.
Yeah,
he was Kurt. On. I seen him on stage halfway butt naked and putting his hands up in there and his underwear. It still made me laugh. I'm like, look at this fat white kid.
Was it really like that?
Yeah.
He told me about it, but I'm like, no fucking way. They're exaggerating.
Just like, I'm like, oh, boy. He did doing some contests. He won a contest three times in a row.
What, so, did he just get into his underwear?
Yeah, I said, his underwear. He was just down to his underwear. And he just...
I was fattest, too.
Just fat. And then you imagine him, and then Lil Kev is Lil Kev. And I said, both of you, you guys, you got to get out of here.
And did they try to fight you on it? Were they like, no, it's fine? They knew it?
No, they didn't try to fight me. But, you know, Teray, who was, you know, the guy before I, because I left Philly. So Teray was the guiding light to them. So he just said, who's that? Keith? What is he doing? He don't know nothing. Whatever. But, you know, so Jay and Kev came up to New York and they started getting stuff. And they started doing stuff. And it took Jay a little longer than Kev. Because Jay was like jerking off of the cookies and all that.
That's right. Jay is not.
So he had to take
it's more niche for sure.
Yeah. He had Kevin. To take the longer route. But Kev started picking up whatever he needed to pick up. And then he started flying.
They said the way I get it from listening to Kurt or Keith, Jay talk about it, so as soon as Kevin got there, he was just like kind of like a light went off, and he was like, I'm going to be friends with all the big comics. I'm just like, I'm one of them. I'm not doing that, like, wait my turn for a conversation.
No, it wasn't like that. It's, you know, because I'm always watching.
Yeah.
I'm sitting back and watch, you know, like, no, get over there, sit down. Don't do that. Put that down. You know, they were like kids, you know. Him and Jay, don't talk to that, change your number, do this, do that. So Kev was just, you know, looking around. But Kev just, it wasn't that he's going to know the biggest comics. Kev just wasn't giving up.
Right.
In other words, like, if I said, Kev, look at that shirt, that dumb shirt. Oh, yeah? Look at your dumb.
Right.
Jay was more quiet.
Yeah.
Jay used to be quiet and shy. We used to go, fight back, Jay. Fight back.
Because he would just take it?
Yeah, he would just take it. And
what I mean. Not know the biggest comics, but I mean, like, talk to whomever.
Yeah.
Not like a climber way, but like
Kev was just, he fit in because he wasn't, you know, usually a lot of black comics are used to the shits,
where
you go ball busting, you know, because that's all we do throughout. It's a ball busting, so it was an easy adjustment for him. Big J was just sitting back. He was shy as ever.
It is weird when you get there and, like, Artie or you or whoever, and you're like, what the fuck's that? And then, like, seven people start making fun of you, and you're like, what is this? I just showed up. What?
Because we sit in the back, you know, and, you know, we're all back there now. When we established ourselves as the guys like me, Patrice, Voss, and Jim Norton. That's all it was. It was just those four. We would hang out, bust each other's chops all day. And Robert Kelly came along later. Now, Thin Bob, sexy Bob.
Headshot Bob.
Headshot Bob was with the girls and all. He was all that. I still wanted to laugh more than anything. Mm-hmm. I had to laugh. So I had to fuck with. I wanted people who laughed. You know, we just was, you know, fucking with the people. But Kev fit right into that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and those new guys now are like, it's weird when you see somebody come up to the cellar and they're like, you can tell they're like new. Like, how do I, like a new comic, like, what do I do? Should I sit? And you want to be like, dude, don't sit here. Sit over there. Don't be needy. Just go make friends with people your level and be like, how do I get on? Just stop.
Like, you're but that's all the stuff that I had to do with all that. You know, a dumb Kirk came in, take his stupid shoes off. He's making out.
Dude, no.
Kirk's making out at the bar with his girl. Oh, my God. Jeez. He took one of Essie's chicken fingers or whatever and just started eating. He said, what? And Kurt was always the clumsy genius.
He's an oaf. That's what I always say about Kurt Metzger. He's a fucking oaf. Hey,
Kurt's funny as hell.
He's so fucking funny. His writing is like nobody.
He's brilliant. But just watching Kurt, it just makes you laugh watching Kurt.
Yeah.
Because he's looking like he's going to do something bad. I know it. I said, that's it, Jay. That's it. No more Kurt. Go ahead, give him a chance, man.
He's such a fucking lunkhead. Look, so like when he does make a joke, you're like, did you just get lucky? Did you just happen? Do you not even know what you're saying? That's why Jay says all of Kurt's ex-girlfriends eventually did stand up, because they're like, if this idiot can do it, I can for sure do it.
Kurt, but in his clumsiness, Kurt still made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because he's just a funny dude.
Yeah.
It's like just watching him look around. Hey, when he's trying to meet Dave Attell, he's like, hey, Dave. Jay said, hey, pal, back off. You know how Dave is when he.
You know what he did? When the first time we met Rogan, we were in Montreal, just on an off whatever, and doing our own show. And then we stopped by that upstairs room, that tiny one.
Yeah.
Comedy Nest, Comedy Works.
Comedy, yeah.
And he was there. Rogan wasn't as big as he is now, but still pretty big. And we came in. I was like, oh, this is my friend Kurt. And Kurt's like, oh, hey, what do you take for your hair, man? I was like, what? He goes, you're balding. So why? What do you take? Rogaine? Propecia? What do you do? And I'm like, dude, wait 10 seconds before you fucking point out that someone's bald. But he's not, he doesn't mean anything by it. No, he's just autistic.
I fucking love dumb Kurt. I love him.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, the crew watching them come up and grow up and do their thing is like, boom.
Yeah. It is cool, though, when you see somebody, like, go from a glorified open micer, pretty much, to, like, start to hit it.
To start to hit the boom, boom. Now, Kev just smacked one out of the park.
He's doing okay, right?
He may be doing something. But... you know, just seeing all that. Because I bullied all of them,
mm-hmm.
in a sense, you know, because, you know, I remember.
Well, you put them like Ike Turner bullies.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out well. Or Joe Jackson. It's going to turn out good for you.
I was, you know, I'm a filthy pig. So I was at my son's mom. She said one day, she's like, I want to go to New York. But I think she knew that I had plans. I had a date. But I said, oh, not going. You can't go to New York. Not today. Why can't I go? You can't go because we're going. Now, I'm sitting there dressed like one of the OJs. There's a fucking R&B, 70s R&B group. I got my fucking satin shirt on. My silk. my silk pants. I'm in nice shoes. They were probably that nice. But I'm cloned up, the best cologne. It's Miyake at that time. That was what I thought was the best. And she said, you're going to play? Yeah, I'm going. Me and Kev's going. I'm going to pick him up. We're going to play basketball. Oh, you going to play basketball? Yeah, I'm going to play. You can't go. I'm telling you, we got a game. Why are you dressed?
my warm-up. We have an entrance.
My clothes. Kev got my clothes from last night, so it don't matter. And it's, I get in my car, start it up, and I start to drive. Then I look behind me. She's right behind me. Then I try to fucking pull off.
I try to lose your girl.
I try to lose this bitch, but she's right. Like, I can see her face. She's so close to the thing, like this.
Looking forward to make the car go faster.
And I'm fucking, I try to wait till the light gone, then boom. Still couldn't lose her. So we're on 76, heading down towards Kev. But she's right, I swear to God, she's the worst driver ever, but to catch me, she picked it up tremendously. So if I get off the Lexus, she's off the Lexus. I called dumb Kev. I'm like, Kev, get outside now. He said, what? I said, you get the fuck outside and you come with a basketball. Now.
Just get a basketball. I don't have one. Find one.
So I pull up and she right behind me. Dumb Kev gets out the basketball like this. Dun, 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 dun. I said, pass it to me. Then I threw it behind my back. And, dun, 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 dun. And she gets out the car. And she's shaking up a Pepsi. Now I had these white silk pants on. I'm looking like an idiot. She's like this. Shaking a Pepsi up. Then she opens it up. And Pepsi all over my dumb outfit.
Why? The excuse worked. You got a game.
It didn't work. She knows. And then she punched me right in my face, poured motor oil all over my car, and left.
To mother your child?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fucking.
That's fucking like, nuts. What the hell?
That's fucking nuts. Yeah, women, it's like when you try to convince them to be like, no, you didn't count me. They're like, I don't have to catch you. I know you're lying. It's not court, you asshole. I know you're lying.
Have you get caught before?
Yeah, and then it's like my first girlfriend, she's like, won't talk to me. She's like, why? I'm like, she's like, you know why. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? But of course I know why. Of course I know why. I was fucking around.
But, you know, I hate
But it's just like, you don't. I don't know you know, so...
But I hate the friends who will tell you you want to get caught.
Fuck that.
And it infuriates me. I don't want to get fucking caught.
Yeah.
No, that's why you're doing what you do. You want to get caught. No, I don't want to get caught.
I'm sloppy. Yeah. It doesn't mean I want to get caught. It means I want the investigator to also be sloppy.
But when she want to catch you more than you want to be not caught.
She wins.
She's going to win.
I mean, look at any crime drama. You know, The Wire lasted a bunch of seasons, but they eventually caught the guy. You know, they worked hard at it.
You know, when you're doing wrong, you're going to get caught.
It's the best when you come in, you have no idea. You've already been caught. But yeah. You don't know because she hasn't confronted you. You're on the way home, especially pre-cell phone days. You walk like, hey, how you doing? She's like, hey. And you're like, fuck. You see the look on their face and you're like, I don't know which one this is, but something's wrong. Either I ate the last of leftovers. Hopefully it's something like that. Hopefully it's just like, I didn't call your dad or something like that. But worst case scenario, I'm fucked. And you got to act like, what's going on? And everything flips through your head. Like, this could be any of these things. Or you see something open. You see like your cell phone on the table and you're like,
Sweating, you know. But my girl never wanted to sleep. My son's mother, she didn't go to sleep until I was in. I don't care how long she just was up.
Yeah.
That's how I figured out if a woman really loved you or not.
Right? Wait up for you.
Yeah, she's waiting for you. But I went to this one bitch. She was sound asleep. I thought, hey, get the fuck up.
Don't you care about me at all? You fucking bitch.
You cheating bitch. What are you doing?
That's funny.
You know, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, all those guys in Philly now are like, they're all doing better.
Yeah.
Reggie opened for me in Texas. He crushed.
Texas, yeah. Reggie's good.
Yeah.
Reggie's good. Monroe's good. Derek's good. Mm-hmm. They all got some stuff.
Monroe's like a legitimately interesting comic.
Yeah, very interesting. Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, like he does stuff that I'm like, he's just like, I don't know, he's unique.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah, because I see a lot of comics fall into that thing, like you said, of like trying to be Pryor or trying to be anything, yeah. But like, and he seems like he's already broken free from all that.
Yeah, he's broken free. But his main thing is his head.
What do you mean?
Staying out of his head.
What do you mean?
In other words, it's like when you're in your head about a joke or about whatever, or think that you should be saying whatever, and you're not, am I saying the right thing? Am I not saying the right thing? That's in your head. You're just being in your head of, like, let it fly. Everything will work its way out. It'll work its way to what it is. I know what you're trying to do, but don't think it too much. Don't think it too hard.
Yeah, it also takes some time of, like, anytime you're trying to redo your act, not your act, but your persona or, you know what I mean? Whatever, just the delivery style. You're going to fail for a while.
Yeah.
So you got to like go like, no. It'll get better.
Yes.
Instead of immediately, that didn't work. Let me go back to these fucking tried and true lame ways.
Right. So that's the whole thing is just like, that's the fun of comedy. That's why I hate thieves to another level. People who steal jokes. Because this is a thing where you got to figure it out. That's the fun of this thing. Is figuring shit out.
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
And then, yeah, it's a puzzle that you go, oh, fuck, I fucked up. I'm not good now. Because you constantly got to be good.
What do you mean?
Like, in other words, if you're good for one special, now there's no, now you it, that special's done.
Yeah.
Now it's starting all over again. Yeah. So you got to go back to like, fuck, how do I
do this again?
Do it. I got to do this again. But that's why I love Jerry Seinfeld. Because this man is worth, what, $1 billion? And he's still trying to figure it out.
Right. Like that movie.
If I made that much money, I don't know.
You coast. You go Buster Douglas, right? And like, cash in, dude. I'll do one more fight. Like, I'm already eating. I'm not going to make weight for this. Yeah.
But that dedication with that much money, I love it.
Yeah, what makes somebody, like, it's got to be a self-starter. Chris Rock, I think a long time ago, said, like, once you made your first $1 million, it's harder to be funny. Because, like, what's driving you, you know? Unless it's, like, so, like, if you're a political comic, that shit keeps driving you. Right. That doesn't go away no matter how much money you got. If you can't fucking find a woman, like, Maron had, you know.
Right.
He could let that keep driving him the fucking way women would drive him crazy.
Well, the anger in Maron was through the years.
What do you mean?
Now, like, Maron's always been angry, and I don't know how mad he is right now.
Seems now he has to calm down.
Yeah, so he's probably calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to get up, he was always, you know, going through that, I'm there, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, that probably drove him.
Yeah, that drive you. But I'm talking about Seinfeld's had money.
Yeah, but I don't know. Right, so how does a guy like Seinfeld make himself keep working hard?
He just loves it. He loves comedy. What it is. That's what I feel. He loves comedy. I call him John Stockton of comedy. At the end of the thing, he's like, what? 38 points, 20 assists?
I didn't even notice.
15 rebounds? What the fuck?
Yeah. Stockton never had 15 rebounds in his whole life.
Yeah, no, but I respect that, man. I'm like, that's the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but the guys who stay in it. We're like, there's no reason. It's the lowest level in the entertainment industry.
Well, we found out that. We found out that we're not essential.
Literally, Cuomo was like, you guys are not. Stand-up comedy is not essential. And we're like, oh. We're like, we made people laugh. He's like, shut, there's Netflix. Nobody needs you. I'm like, damn it.
They don't like me. Yeah. What the fuck?
Hey, I want to ask you about this, because this is something like, so you've been through it. You've been around a while.
Yeah.
And you're an observer of the trends. So, like, what I've noticed now is that I've heard about what happened in the 90s, where it was just, like, too many clubs and too many, not enough good comics. So right. It got diluted, and that led to, like, the collapse.
A lot of deals.
Yeah.
Everybody got a deal in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. But then it led to, like, nobody caring about stand-up.
Right.
And that's when I got into it in 2000, where people were, like, you know, 8 people a night at the Comedy Store.
I know. Yeah, you caught the bad store. Yeah, but like, that's good, though, because now this is a good store.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, for development, it was the best thing. Yeah. But, like, what's happening now with, like, I feel like all this filmed stand-up is putting out too much. So a regular human just goes, meh, stand-up's not that great. I've seen plenty.
That's what I don't like. I was just talking about that with the HBO specials that was put out. I'll be mad if I ain't get one.
Yeah.
But I was still, I looked at the people that got one, I'm like, all right.
What, like they're okay?
Yeah, they deserve the specials.
Right.
You know, they're doing, like Don Marrero had a special. Don Marrero was funny as
way
hell.
Way back,
yeah.
It was great, funny, dude.
Fucking special. Don Marrero was one of my favorite comics and my cousin's favorite comic. He loved Don Marrero. So we look at Don and go, wow. Oh wow! Then you've seen all the people like Louis got one, this one got one, Dave Attella got one. So you couldn't complain about the guys that got it.
Yeah,
it's too much complaining now because you have too much to complain about. Him, her, wait,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like if everyone who's getting it, it's not you. That sucks. But you're like, well, they are fucking great.
Yeah, they are great.
But when it's like that guy fucking sucks. Like that person, and then you want to be like, even if it's not me, give it here. I can even eight people that should get it.
But that's what we was doing back in the day. Because I know I was doing that. Like, because you always want to judge a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, I can't say nothing. That guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
So now, but I wanted to be hard again.
What do you mean?
I wanted to be hard to get specials again. I wanted to be a great, like, you got to work your ass off to get a special.
Yeah.
You got to have that something. And, you know, that's what it, I think that's what it should be.
It used to be hard to get a CD or an album.
Right.
Now, then, like, 10 years ago, anybody could do an album. It's fine. It's fine. And then it was hard to get a special. And really now, anybody can do one.
Yeah, anybody just do a special and put it on Amazon for free or whatever. But, I mean,
it's some good people work hard.
I don't know. I don't know what people are working hard for followers now.
Yeah, but that,
that's what you know. It is what it is. But people are working hard. And they're like, I gotta get followers. I gotta get followers. Everybody, you know, taking follower classes. How to
I
get
know,
followers.
But then it never stops. Because I see people who are succeeding, no names, but like you see people who are like wildly successful and there's still like this desperation on Instagram. Like, look at me with celebrity. Look at me with this. And it's like, dude, you're already making it.
Yeah.
Just go do your thing now.
No, but it's the hardest thing to because they made it, they attached it with everything else.
They made it what?
They attached your followers with even doing the comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many followers you? You ain't got enough followers to do this club.
When but I booked that show on Comedy Central, they would be like, let's see their Twitter followers.
Right.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, let's look at the stories they're submitting. This one's an A+, and this is an A-. Like, yeah, but the A- has a million followers. I'm like, damn it.
Yes, that's what we got to go through. The comics got to always adjust and readjust, but the good comics still remain in the game. And that's a good thing about it.
Yeah.
You still remain good, you still remain solid, and you have a story to tell. You know what I mean? I don't have jokes about cops, right?
Yeah.
I have jokes about my experience with the cops.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, so it's a difference. Like, I'm trying to think of some hook. I need a cop joke. I need a whatever joke, whatever relevant. I need that joke. Rather than just have a life experience with that joke.
Right, which I think is better. You told that story on my show once at the Underground.
Oh,
okay. Getting into a fight with a cop.
Oh, yeah. Again.
That was great.
Getting in a fight with a cop.
And then Bobby was in the back. Oh, you forgot the part about how you shit yourself.
Yeah, no.
Shut up, Bobby.
That's what Kev, because Kev told that story on Instagram, got like 7 million followers. You know, because I was with Rachel.
Yeah.
Rachel was there, Kev.
In that car?
In the car.
Damn.
And when I went to so when you look at, when I look at the thing that happened with Breonna Taylor, right? And, you know, like the cops always, I've never seen a cop say that I overreacted. I went too far.
Yeah.
That was my fault. They
cops
don't say
will
that.
Cops will not.
Never do that.
Yeah.
Never do that because they feel like getting in trouble, whatever. So when I got in trouble, this is how I know about it. Like, I got arrested because Kev didn't have a license. I said I had my license. You know, I got the license, whatever. I was a little bulky. I fought cops, you know, back in Philly.
That's fucking nuts.
I know, because of that, I said, yo, I got my license. And the guy said, get out of the car, and they grabbed me. Then, of course, I'm like, what you grabbed me for? And then 4, 5, 6, and we just move it around a little bit. I knew how to move people around a little bit, but I'm like, what am I doing? Then they beat me, kick me, whatever. I'm still mouthing off. You fucking, that's all you got, whatever, whatever. But here's what happened. As I was in a holding cell, I seen the guy who, the arresting officer, pacing back and forth with a pen, thinking of shit that he was going to put in that police report. And then when he would come up with something, he was like a writer. He'd go, oh, he would get excited, like, ah. Then write it down.
What?
So what ended up happening is, in the police report, he wrote that, oh, this guy jumped out of the car with a brush wrapped in a newspaper, like it was a shotgun. That's why we had to arrest him. So they made that up. And I got 6 months probation because of that.
Really?
So.
And you didn't walk out with anything.
No.
You just walked out and be like, hey, stop, I got a license.
Yeah, I got a license. I ain't walking with nothing. But in case he got just to protect his ass, he had to lie.
Damn.
And that was good enough to...
Because who are they going to believe? Some young guy?
You would think the judge would go, wait a minute, hold on. Why would he get out the car with a brush wrapped in a newspaper? What good is that going to do for him?
Right, you're going to bring out a fake shotgun to some cops? For what end? What will you get out of that? You think they'll be like, oh shit, and walk away?
Yeah, hell, this guy's not playing.
Yeah, they're going to shoot you. What do you mean? What a terrible idea.
It's the dumbest
thing. Even if they believe it, it's a terrible idea for yourself.
But imagine, you know, that, and that was just me getting kicked and punched and pepper sprayed.
Yeah, right.
Imagine the lies they tell on everything else.
I mean, that's human nature, right? They're gonna try to cover their ass.
They cover, but I'm just saying, when people just automatically go, oh, yeah, because the first thing they look for, let's hope he has a record. If they do something wrong, that's why everything is like, oh, this guy wasn't no sweetheart. Look what he did.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't have no record. I stole 4 cops, but I ain't no damn record.
But then you got one.
So they had, 6 months, and then they expunged it from my, they gave me 6 months probation, da-da-da-da-da.
I didn't know black people got expunging. I thought that was just expunged. Jews. I thought that was just Jewish people who were shoplifted. I thought that was the only word they knew. Expunge means it never happened. I didn't know you guys had access to that.
That's the only way I knew that. I knew that word. What do you think? I'm not a wordsmith.
You're a professional wordsmith.
I learned that. I learned to expunge, and I learned reprimanded.
I got severely reprimanded.
You're reprimanded. I'm like, what's that mean?
So what were you going to say with Breonna Taylor?
Breonna Taylor, what I'm saying about that is like when people look at that, most of the stuff is done not for black people, the police report and what they're saying. It's done for white people just to get the narrative where they go, oh, yeah, look what happened. The guy is shot and this one, that. It's like they can make up anything.
Right.
Cops always make up everything. They just make up shit to cover their ass for most of the shit. Because when they over-respond over whatever, they got it. You can't just say we shot in the house and this was this. They got to go. They got to give the people something that they can go, ah.
That's like a child.
Right.
When it's like, why were you late? It's like, you just make up an excuse.
Yeah, you make up.
Like, lost track of time, my bad. You don't ever say that.
Yeah.
Tommy
but you
me
go,
out.
To, come on, that's you dig it a little deeper. That's why they're making the AG of Kentucky or Louisville go over the thing again. Tell them what you did or what you didn't do.
Yeah.
Because AG just want to, you know, he left a lot of stuff out. That's detail.
It's a weird case, Breonna Taylor, because like you heard what Barkley said, right?
Barkley is a moron.
Fair enough. And that's another thing, too. So like people are like, did you hear what Lizzo said? She said this. And I'm like, I don't go to Lizzo for political. She's a great singer, man.
I don't want Lizzo.
Yeah, what are you talking? I don't go to her for fucking tips on my basketball game.
I don't
want to
hear what Ice Cube thinks about, you know.
That's just them talking.
Reparations.
What the fuck am I? Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
When Cornel West will talk about that, I will listen.
Yeah, but
when Lizzo
or
Barkley talks about it,
that's
like,
what I'm saying, man. Yeah. We, you know, as a black man, we had a great leaders. Like, it was pretty good. It was historically relevant. They knew their history. They knew Martin Luther King, you know, all these folks, Malcolm X, even whatever. They knew their shit.
Yeah.
Now we got Killer Mike.
And he's one of the smartest ones. But it's like, is your side hustle? Knowing stuff is your side hustle from rap?
Yeah, no, he's good.
He's
good.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's like...
It is crazy, though, when Atlanta was burning, where everything was burning during, like, the George Floyd protests and stuff like that. It's like, he was the one getting on, like, guys, we need calmness. And it's like... Where are the leaders? Where are like the straight like academics?
Yeah, the academics. Yesterday, academia has left the building and gave it over to whoever has the most followers.
We were talking about it with Breonna Taylor because there's like questions you can't really ask anymore. You know, with the state of the world. Like, can I ask a question? Like, no. Like, okay, all right. So that was one that was like kind of like what Barkley was saying. Was like, well, they weren't looking to shoot her, but then we were talking about it in private. Whatever, who cares? But like, they were like, yeah, but she wasn't there shooting. She was in bed.
Well, you think about
imagine if somebody was shooting somebody in Tompkins Square and they shot back and killed some other person. Right. They'd be like, why is that other person
but
shot?
But if you think about it, it's like this. You're a police officer.
Yeah.
I'm making you a cop. So you go to a house at 2 in the morning that you think a known drug dealer's at.
Right.
You're expecting to shoot somebody. Because this guy is rough, whatever, you are expecting to kill. Right?
Violent criminal. That's what you're going to arrest.
But that's what I'm saying. You expect. Now, you had it wrong. You had the wrong thing. You kicked the door in. But see, it's like if you're a cop, you got to think, wait a minute, if I kick this door in unannounced because there's no knock warrant, is there a possibility that something could happen? So, in order to lessen the possibilities, why not do that? Why don't we just wait it out to see who comes out the house?
Or just wait outside.
You can just wait outside.
Just waiting until he comes out.
And come out. But you didn't. The police work was sloppy as shit.
So do you think that police work was sloppy because it was a black-owned house? Or do you think just because cops suck?
I think they do look at who was there.
I mean, if it was the rich suburbs, for sure.
Rich suburbs,
they're not busting down.
No way. No knock warrant. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. So the poor of the neighborhood, black or white, you're going to get it. Everybody's like, it's a go. So I just look at it in class first. Color has something to do with it, too. And you know the color. And then it goes from there. Because it's like it's just sloppy work, sloppy police work. And then when you do something like that, then you make up shit. I seen a guy in my neighborhood get shot in the head, right? Cops killed him, shot him in the head. And I didn't even like the guy. Me and him have a little skirmish or whatever. This is in the neighborhood. And the cops went house to house threatening all the people because everybody had a record. So they were threatening people, you seen this or else. This is what happened.
Really?
Yeah. Telling people this is what happened. And if you do that, you go back to jail. You go back to... Because everybody knew. Everybody in the neighborhood, they had records. So it was a lot of... That was in the 80s. That, you know, cops was, you know, going around threatening. People know the cops, it just happens.
And then you're like, fuck it, I'm fine. There's no way I can speak up.
Right. Not me.
I'll just go to jail. Hopefully somebody will, but...
Dumbass didn't give a shit because I never was in trouble like that.
Yeah.
I ain't selling wives, stole cars and all that, but I was young. So
that's such a Joey Diaz logic. Like, I never did anything. I mean, no, I Grand Theft Auto, but like, you know, nothing real.
But I'm saying that you learn so much by that's that culture. The culture of the police department has become lying. If you have to, planting drugs, if you have to, that was just the culture.
And so, like, here's what Charles Bukowski said, because he was like, all cops are crooked, right? And they were like, how can you say that? But there's, you know, there's some that aren't. He goes, yeah, but you're hanging around with a bunch of crooked people.
Complicit.
Doing crooked shit, and you're in law enforcement, and you're letting that happen. So, like, yeah, you're a law. If you hang out with, if your whole crew of comics, if all those Philly blacks, or whatever, and by the way, there's a couple of white guys in that, when I call the Philly blacks.
I like Philly blacks. Like, Kareem calls me, yo, Philly black, get over here.
Yeah, Kareem. But, like, if they're all joke thieves and you still hang out with them, then you're like, hey, man, you gotta fucking stop hanging out with those guys or tell them to
stop stealing.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
You can't just.
You can't. That's why I say all cops aren't bad, but they are all complicit. You know, because you can't be there and know what's going on. When I got arrested that day, they kicked me, threw me, put shackles on my legs and all that. A black cop came to me. He was so fucking angry. He said, get the fucking shackles off this guy now.
Yeah.
And then they were all like, yeah, but he was kicking. I never was kicking. I wouldn't fucking look like I'm kicking. No, I don't kick. I was calling y'all bitches because y'all can't hit. I wasn't saying you kicking.
You're fucking nuts.
I'm not going to kick. I'm stupid, you know, in my mind, because when I say I come from a long line of cop fighters in my family, I remember.
That's a different background than me. My Orthodox Jewish man. It's like, no cop fighters. It's like, what?
I remember my brother got arrested in Past Young Projects, right? This is in 60, whatever, 70. 1969 or whatever. And my mother said, my mom was always, where's my fucking son? My mom go through, she kicked open the Jamaican posse's door looking for my brother because that's who she was. So the cop was pointing at her and my mom is short. The cop's, you fucking, and she grabbed his arm and flipped him. And all other conference rolling, they just started laughing. They were laughing at this short lady flipping this guy over his shoulder. You know, well, she, you know, short, strong. My uncle's short and all that, but he was a boxer. So that's my mom and my uncle were the real gangsters of the family. If you had to see any that would go like, hey, if anything happened, with my mom, my uncle come there with two guns. My Uncle Jimmy, he passed away recently. My Uncle Jimmy, he would come with guns, whatever he needed to come with, because he said the family, it's like funny, the family's got to survive. You know, but that's the stuff that you know about when you deal with police, because you know how to deal with them. Yeah, this cop said, you know, yeah, well, you bump this. You know, you don't have to be angry at every cop, but you got to be aware of any cop. They're going to look out for their own ass.
That's a human nature thing. And that's so you, human nature. You can't take human nature away from, right, like, their job is this. Like, I know, but, which is why judges, they're like, oh, do you know this person? You can't be on this court because... human nature. You're gonna be like, well, it's my niece. Let me try to like shift a little bit. Yeah. Let me see how hard they have it. So it's like you can't beat. So they make you recuse yourself.
That's right.
It's like you gotta like figure out human nature's real.
That's come right. Up with, I don't know how do you do it though.
I don't know.
How do you do it? It's like, you know.
So Jay says, like, when they get like, you made me run after you. You know, if you're a criminal, you made me run after you. It's like, now I want to get a couple shots in because I'm a human and I didn't want to run. But Jay's like, you gotta not be a human. You gotta be like, you're apprehended. No free shots. The court will take the free shots at them, not me. And it's like, but they're people. They're not robots.
But in Philadelphia, 24 from Wolf in South Philly, that was a whipping post. They'd take you downstairs, put you in a chair, put some yellow pages on you, and just beat the snot out of you.
Damn.
Yeah, they did.
What's the yellow pages? So it blows out the bruise?
The bruise. But you be, like, in life.
I mean, I could see I would do that, too. If it wasn't race-based, if they're like, this guy's an asshole. I'm like, so? Like, we're going to tune him up a little. Like, he's for sure an asshole? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Right? I mean, here or there, you would do it.
In your mind, that's why I couldn't be a police officer, because I'd be awful. I know I'd be awful. Because the temptations, I feel bad afterwards. I'm like, right, why'd I do that? Fuck.
That's why I don't want gun control. I'm a little like, I think we need guns to overthrow the government. I don't think it's about hunting or anything like that. I think when it's time, we all need guns. But if I have a gun, I'm going to jail. For sure. Inside a week, I'm shooting some person that doesn't need
but
to be shot.
But that's what you got. But everybody got to figure it out. We got to have a conversation about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
We need a conversation about a lot of shit that we're not really dealing with. When it comes to police, we have a conversation. We go like this, we go back and forth, and then we go, okay, he's right. Or they're right. How do we stop this? They're human. They're going to fucking, they got egos.
Yeah, so, right, how do you, right, so you need the conversation.
Yeah, you need a conversation with everything.
But like, so you're an older school guy.
Yeah.
You know, so you can talk and be like, I'm not, oh, how can you say something like that? You're not going to get in that mode, but you know, when you talk to one of the newer comics, you bring up something, and like they just like tune off.
Right, that's like, what I'm saying. They tune off. Like I said,
and then nothing gets accomplished,
and nothing gets
no understanding happens.
We was at the comedy cell, and we were talking about men and women and the men and women concept. And I'm saying, well, look, okay, I get it. Men do a lot of fucked up shit. And I understand it. I agree. We got to the fact where men will admit you're never going to see it. If a man says, then fuck him.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from him. He's bullshit. But now that we got that out of the way, ladies, I asked all the female comics and the thing, what could you do better?
Wow, yeah.
Well, we can stop dating the wrong men. Now, again, you're blaming men. What could you do better? What would you do better in this society to make it better? They said, well, men do this, men do that. I said, well,
stuck on that other thing.
We can't. So I said, well, you know, in the rookie symposium, they have a thing where they tell all the rookies, look, if you're going to have sex with a girl, right, tie up your condoms, take your condom with you, or flush it down the toilet.
For the NBA, you mean?
Yeah. What? Because the girls poking holes in it, they're trying to do anything to get pregnant.
Sure. For an NBA player?
That's a lottery ticket. I understand it, but I'm just saying, I said, you guys do stuff. It's not all power-based. Because women basically attract to, power.
Yeah.
Let's not fool whatever. So we know our thing, but what is your thing that makes you do whatever you do? So if we have a full conversation, we can come to something. But if you get mad just because I said that little bit, then what do we have?
We don't
have
nothing.
You can tell me your side, I'll tell you my side, and then maybe we can come there and go, okay. Like, I know for a fact men have used their power to use too much of their power to do bullshit stuff.
Uh-huh.
I know that.
Sure.
You know? Sure. That, you got me there.
Yeah.
I got it. And I feel as though all of things put in place in Me Too wasn't bullshit at all. I think Me Too made a lot of people step back a little bit. And they're like, oh, whew, all right.
You know? Dude, every man did a inventory or whatever. Like, first of all, do I need to leave the country right now? Do I have a major one coming? And you're like, okay, I don't think I have any straight rapes are in there. Like, okay, so they're like, where have I got close to the line?
Yeah, man.
And you try to be like, oh, I can improve there.
But you think about, oh, God, this is what I did. This is how I did it. Okay. All right. Like, you know, I do it on stage. I'll never forget my first Me Too.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go, oh, they like fucking get revved up. I was like, I was eight. And a girl, Jeanette Moody, walked past. She was 10. She's 10-year-old. She, oh, my God.
A luscious 10-year-old ass.
That's what I'm saying. She had a nice 10-year-old ass. And they're like, oh.
I was
not eight. Now, when I was eight.
You're like, all right. Borderline.
So they still be like, you motherfucker. I'm like, oh, hear me out. You know, and then I went on to say, like, about Cardi B. Cardi B's story is like, hey, I used to get men drunk and I would rob them.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, yay!
Come on. What do I mean, yay?
They're applauding. Yeah, that's what they get. That's what they. Now, can we have the conversation? We can have a conversation that we do shit fucked up. We do so weird. I can admit. I know all the shit that went on in my childhood watching. I watched a lot of, yuck. But, on both sides, though.
That's when I see female comics talking about how hard it is to be a female comic. And I get it. I get the hardest part is probably walking home late at night to your car.
Yeah.
3 blocks away. And like, fuck. So I got to deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
But can you tell me anywhere where it's better to be a female comic?
Is there anything...
Right,
but come on, meet us halfway, and I will fucking walk you to your car. But like, you gotta tell me.
Yeah, but I get it. I get whatever you say, but like you said, you gotta tell me the advantages too.
Yeah,
give me that. Then we got something. Now we can keep talking and keep trying to make it better all the way around.
Yeah,
tell me where I'm wrong. And which I ain't never seen a man admit. Like, oh, no, we don't. No, every man that's a fucking man that can, the heart beats, because say, I've been a dick. I've been a dick so many times. Matter of fact, I'm going to go turn myself into jail for 2 years.
To being a dick?
I'm turning myself in.
Yeah.
I'm just going to roll away, like, hey, man, I want 2 years, and I think I had 2 years.
I heard something about, like, why black people are not as, the Me Too movement didn't hit the black community as hard as it hit the white community. And the reason was because black women, because the punishments are really harsh right now. For like, yeah. You know, you asked me on a date and you try to kiss me. I didn't want to. Like, kill him. You know, it's a little harsh. And black women have seen black men get overly punished too much. They're like, look, I want to slap in the wrist, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen here. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut about all this.
Nah, it's like, well, the Asian women, they really don't snitch.
They don't
God
even
bless
talk.
Asian women.
They know their place. God bless Asian women. They sit there at the casino and they just sit there quietly behind their man when he's playing for 5 hours. They're like, can I go get some bibimbap? Like,
all you can do, you just got to give them a bag of money from that nail salon that you just worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go to the casino, and it's all right.
That's right. Put it in one quarter at a time. Don't load up dollars.
It's those white bitches that keep snitching.
It's white bitches. They drive everything. I'm so glad the word Karen came along, because they were just going with no shots back at them. And now we got Karen. Now, like, how does it feel? And you're like, how does it feel, Karen? Like, I'm not a Karen! Don't you fucking say that to me! And you're like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, it feels so good. Keep them on the ropes.
Did you grab my ass? No, I didn't, Karen. Don't call me Karen.
Remember the one? That was a turning point with that girl. Because they told you all, like, somebody grabs your ass, you say something. You don't take this anymore. And so some girl's like, somebody grab my... It was that young black boy. And he was like,
three-year-old. What?
Do you remember that? It was a kid with a backpack, and the backpack rubbed against her. And the people are like, you fucking racist. And she goes, you told me to report it. I thought somebody touched my ass. And like, nope, you're a Karen now. Oh, I love it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Can I ask you about the stroke?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
I don't know how people sometimes are like, when was it? When did it happen?
2016.
This is
February 3rd.
After Patrice.
February 3rd. Yeah, after Patrice.
He had a stroke too, right? Is that what got him?
Yeah.
When was it? What day? What time of day? Like,
it was Tuesday or Wednesday.
Morning or night?
Well, it happened all through the day.
What was happening? Like, what?
Like, I got up in the morning. Like, first, I never forget, I had a chance to take my blood pressure medicine, but I'm like, ah, fuck that. I did like 100 push-ups. Ah, took another cup of cappuccino.
Yeah,
it's caffeine. It helps spike your blood.
Just get your
pressure.
Heart going.
Yeah, it helps spike the blood. It's no good. So I, because my dumb ass didn't know. So I went to bed. Wake up in the morning. And I was leaning over to the right side. I'm like, what the fuck? For some reason.
What you are just like, what is this? I don't even know what this feeling is.
I don't know what the fuck. I was leaning to the side.
When you were standing up?
Yeah. I'm walking, leaning. And I'm like, oh shit. Took some Buffering.
Yeah.
Cleared my head, got in the car, drove to Philly. Because I wanted to.
During a stroke?
Yeah. I drove to Philly.
Did you have no inclination what it was?
No. I drove to Philly to get my passport, because I was going to get ready to go out of country.
Yeah.
So, went to the thing, and the minute of filling out the passport, my vision started to go. I'm like, what the fuck? Shit, I barely could see.
Pain or no pain?
No pain at all. No pain at all. I told the guy I'll be back. I'll be back. Got my car. Got some more Buffering.
Your vision started to go blurry or just
blurry.
Damn.
My vision's gone. More Buffering. Clear it up a little bit.
The fuck is Buffering?
Aspirin.
Oh, okay. Is that black aspirin?
No.
I've never heard of Buffering.
Buffering?
I don't know.
Yeah, you heard of Buffering.
Okay, I've heard of it, yeah.
That's funny. Is that black? hysterical. Is that some black shit that I... Is that what you guys take? Is that what all of Philly blacks take?
We get white drugs. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So, it cleared up a little bit. Now, my son was putting on a show. He has a little rap show, and I get him a comic to host the show and all that. I think I got him Chris Cotton at the time.
Oh, cool.
So, and I'll pay him some money or whatever. So I went there to look at the spaces that we're going to do the show at. And I'm like, all right. But then this right leg start going down again. I'm going up the steps, limping up the steps.
What's in your mind? What are you like? What's wrong with my body?
But I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm dragging my leg up, da 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 da. My cousin Nick said, "Yo, man, you may be having a stroke." I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut your dirty Reed mouth up. His last name is Reed. I'm a Robinson. I'm like, Reeds have strokes because they're wimps. They're bitches. Robinsons don't have strokes. So I got my car and drove back up the road heading towards New York.
Oh, that's nuts.
So took some more Buffering.
And the Buffering helped you?
I think the Buffering may have saved my life for some reason. Because the blood, it loosens up, what do you call it? The bloodstream is blood thinner.
Okay.
It thins out the blood. So oh, yeah, maybe help the... So... So when I drove home, took
you
a
drove
nap.
From you drove from New York to Philly and then Philly home during strokes.
So I went to my house, and I took a nap, got up, felt good, drove into New York to do the radio show. Now the radio show about 7:30, 8:00. So I'm at the radio show, where you know Norman's radio show. I'm doing a show, and after I do the show, all the energy won. I'm like, oh, shit. And I told Hannibal Burke, says, look.
I'm still here then.
Go on. He said, what? Go on. They people from True TV, like, you want to sign this? Because this is on. I'm not signing nothing. Get out of here. And I.
Wait, where was this?
At the cellar.
Okay.
So I get out of the cellar. I drag myself out of the cellar. My right side is going down fast. And I'm damn near crawling to my car. You know, like, oh, shit. I get my car, and I'm like, boom, call my son's mom.
Still no pain.
There's no pain. It's not even pain. It's not no pain whatsoever. I tell my son's mom, something's wrong. She said, well, let your son drive. My son, you know, your son will drive there for you. Where you at? He'll drive. Let him drive there. I said, no. I'm going to call Kara.
Fucking manliness.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to call Kara.
I'll be fine myself.
I'm
call Karen? What?
Kara.
Oh.
Kara. Her name was Kara. So I said, I'm going to call Kara. Hello? She hung up on me because she took I'm dying, and she took the time out to be jealous. So I drive
get
home.
My motor oil, my Pepsi, I'll meet you there.
So I drive home, back home with full stroke.
Jersey,
yeah, I drive back to Jersey. Kara comes out, she was living with me at the time, and she helps me in her car. We get in the car, she drives me back to New York to Mount Sinai. And they say, oh, you're having a stroke. They all panic. And I'm like, well, yeah.
I mean, this is 20 hours into a stroke.
And I'm like, get out of here. I'm throwing jazz. I'm all right. Look at this. The girl said, keep still. She's yelling at me.
You're getting your blood pressure up during a stroke. Stop it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm a Robinson. Robinsons don't have...
It's like, no, Doc, I don't think you know about Robinsons. Look in your book. Robinsons don't get strokes. Yeah.
So that's what happened all through the day. And I spent a month in the hospital.
They kept you in there?
Yeah, they kept me
in there. And what did they do for you?
Just got my blood pressure under control and had to give physical therapy and all that.
Would anything have changed if you, like, when you got up and go, oh, weird, if you went right to the hospital?
Yes, everything.
Oh.
My dumb ass wouldn't be limping today.
Really?
Yeah, because you remember, I did it. I walked out of it. So if I would have just got whatever, they'd have got the blood pressure under control. I spent maybe 2 days at best, and I'm back on throwing jabs.
Damn.
But because my dumb ass wanted to be a Robinson.
Yeah. How do you seem like your attitude, it's like it's solid. It's good. I don't know. Yeah. Do you beat yourself up over that at all? Do you just like, whatever, no. I didn't. Who knows?
I go, one, I always know, guys, exactly what I deserved. Just laugh or whatever. But nah, I ain't. They wanted me to take some. First thing you do when you get sick,
yeah,
the drug dealers come.
The pharmaceuticals.
And they offer you drugs. Yeah, you feeling depressed? Nah, I'm good. No. Hold on, you sure?
Hey, sir. You're short. Yeah, that shirt's stained. What do you mean? Yeah. You're not feeling depressed at all? Like, all right, come on. Yeah. Your baby mom won't talk to you. You're like, come on, man. I'm fine. Like, right, so now you're ready?
Yeah, you're ready. You good? But they offer you all sort of drugs. and for antidepressants. I'm like, I don't need it. No, you're going to, feel.
That's interesting.
No. They start offering you different shit. Yeah.
It should just be heart medication.
I thought I was at Washington Square Park with motherfuckers. Cocaine. Heroin.
Dude, that Washington Square Park, they're like, weed? I'm like, yeah, but not that weed. Yeah. You guys have shitty weed. What are you talking about?
Talking about, you want an edible? Yeah. Why the fuck would I get a fucking peach cobbler edible from a guy off the street?
You're like, yeah, forget the drug part. Yeah. I'm not touching, ew, this is a homeless park. Yeah. I'm not touching food from here. You're out of your mind. It's just open. Wrap it, at least.
He had me the cookie in his hand.
Cutting. Yeah, exactly.
It was dirty. Here you go. Come on, you ain't gonna notice. You're getting
right next to the guy with pigeons all over him. Yeah. You're like,
so
do you is this gonna come back at all, or is this there forever now? The level it's at.
No, because it's that punch is getting stronger.
Is it just tightened up? What's going on in there? Is it
No, you can feel a muscle. Certain muscles are coming back.
They are?
The more you do with the muscle, the more... Like, I couldn't do that.
Damn.
I couldn't do that before. You know what I mean? So that you can feel the muscles coming. You know what? I can punch harder than that. But, you know...
Well, don't punch my mic, but yeah. I appreciate you not.
Let me show you. Help a man out. How about with a therapist?
That's a great therapy. Like, take somebody you hate and be like, now punch him. Like, ugh. And you're like, you do better. Like, I hate you. Like, you're doing it. Get your mom in there. Fuck you, mom. And so it's just tightness, or what is it? Like,
is your muscles,
they're not getting blood, or what is like?
They rejuvenate themselves.
Okay. All on one side.
The right side. When I had the stroke, it all was on the right side. I would have preferred, if I would have had to take a choice, I would get left side place.
Why? Oh, because you write with your right.
I'm a righty.
Can you write okay now? Or
with this hand.
You started writing with your left?
Yeah.
How's your handwriting?
Awful.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
Damn.
My right side is horrible.
I mean, left hand. It's like, you ever try to throw a football with your left? And you feel like a girl?
But I,
because you can't, like, it's like...
The good thing
right
about it,
like the left hand is like, yeah.
It's boxing. I was boxing, so this hand was strong anyway, because I was on that boxing shit.
Yeah.
So this hand was strong already. It wasn't weak.
Yeah. Your speech is way better than it was.
Yeah, a couple years ago. You don't know. Like a lot of times, I didn't know that was so bad, but I would try not to. I wouldn't talk that much. When I noticed I did, like, because I would give up, I'm like, all right, that's it for me. Whew. Now I'm yapping like I never yapped before.
Yeah. Right when it happened, when you sit at the table, you're just kind of like,
just sat out like a fucking, Jesus.
I thought some of that was from like embarrassment or something.
No, it was just couldn't talk like,
too much.
Couldn't. And you get tired.
Yeah.
So even walking, when I first got on to start walking in the mall, I had to sit and rest. Now I can walk. You know, I'm good.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So it's getting stronger. But I look at, when I looked at it, I noticed when I punched the wall, hit it hard, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that was solid on here. I'm surprised you could even, because back when it happened, it was
nothing. Like, my hand was like this. I was in the hospital, and Reggie and them came, my Philly Blacks came.
Philly Blacks, yeah.
And I did this, and my hand just dropped. And then... Reggie start laughing. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Fuck you, Reggie. A little compassion once in your life.
No compassion.
Because Reggie's like, finally.
Yeah, but you can't do anything to me. So hard. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like them. I couldn't lift it back. I couldn't even lift it up. So they had to come and lift it up for me. Because the arm with the muscle was so fucked up. So it just would fall. Boom. And now, I can lift shit with it. I carry shit.
How close did you come to dying?
I don't know.
They didn't tell you at the hospital? They weren't like...
Nah, I don't need that shit.
Are you at risk for more strokes now?
I haven't had one in 3 years. So this is 16, 4 years, going on 4 years, no stroke.
What do they tell you? Like, you got to be real careful, get on those blood
meters? Within the first year. So in the first year, I did everything right. I was eating right and everything.
No drinking wine.
No wine.
Remember, like, you were
nothing.
Like, nah.
I was... good. I was a good boy. Because I like, I want to live, you know, fucking, you know, quinoa. I never ate no fucking quinoa.
Yeah.
I was eating everything healthy, you know. I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But as it went on, just, then I seen it, the whole thing of a guy who's been in jail.
What?
Because you leave the hospital like you leave prison.
Never gonna do anything wrong again.
Like, hey, they said, you don't come back here. I'm like, I'm gonna do better. I'm telling the doctors, I'm gonna do better. And then, you know, some bitter ass nurse, that motherfucker coming back.
Yeah, the warden's like, I'll see you in 2 years. You motherfucker. Yeah. I know who you are.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah,
you look, you already look at the pizza place across the street.
So that's what it was. And as it went along, sure enough, a bad habit, I got the wine. Another one.
Yeah.
Another Give one. Give me another one.
And you get, those glasses you get are full glasses. Most wines, bottom third. That goes to it. It's like, you have to sip it like this. just to clear the level. And then you're like, now I can pick it up.
To the top. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? I'm dead. So
it's like over the top. It hasn't overflowed yet.
I'm going to have fun going this time. Fuck it.
Did they, you know how, so stand-up went away for COVID. And now that it's back, like, we're willing to perform outdoors.
Right.
Because for a little bit, like, we're doing stand-up again. So it's like, it took, for the comedy scene lead, we're like, didn't take it for granted for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
It wasn't like, fuck, another spot. It was like, we could do a spot. Did any of that happen to you with the stroke?
Or like, with the stroke, well, I snuck into Vinnie Brand from the Stress Factory. And I did old mics for a while. And then I did old mics at Helium.
Yeah.
Just to see where I was. And then I told Wanda, all right, we went on the road. And I took my son with me. And he was carrying my bags and all that. But I wasn't full in the head and in the speech. I would just, but I would do the road.
What do you mean full in the speech?
Full, like, I wasn't fully ready to tackle funny. All you. You get a rhythm with funny that you can do whatever you want. I had to learn how to stay in a pocket.
Right.
You know, I was a pocket passer now. Rather than you know, just scramble around. Hey, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. I'm in the pocket.
Because you lost, like, a bunch of parts of your game?
Yes.
You couldn't be like, hey, fuck. You know, yeah, you couldn't, like, walk out there.
I'm a pointer. But now I'm just, I only had, Mike had to stay in.
Wow. Oh, that's a huge difference.
Right.
Mike in versus Mike out. It's right. Just like, I mean, even when I'm hosting and I'm just going to bring the next comic up, I take it up like, all right, that was Keith Robinson. Now please give it up for Will Smith. And then I put it back in. Even for like 10 seconds. And so now you got to relearn that. That's nuts.
Relearn and just learn how to be that pocket passer.
Damn.
Which is better. It actually makes you better.
Well, they talk about older athletes are smarter at their sport. Right,
because you get smarter to know what you can do and what you can't do.
Right.
Certain things you don't have to do. Now you have to do a word. You got to go off the word. You don't have to, you can't act out, you know.
Well, that's what a lot of the, not pandering, but that's what a lot of the tricks sometimes you're like, I can finesse this into a laugh.
Right.
But what I should do is go home and rewrite this
right,
joke.
Right, rewrite the whole joke, yeah.
So I don't have to finesse it.
So that's what helped out with that, you know.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's.
Well, that probably helped your stand-up.
God damn it, I got funnier. it did. It actually did.
Interesting.
In its own despicable way.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's good though. You know, you learn to be tough.
Is there any, like, part of that with, like, life in general where you're like, ooh, that could have gone a little bit further towards the Patrice way and I'd be gone? Like,
right.
Maybe this is like borrowed time, or do you not even, like, think like that?
I don't think like that. You know, I know somebody, you know, said, oh, what you call? Oh, yeah, let's see you now because you're not going to be here too long. I'm like, fuck you.
Damn.
Yeah. Somebody said that. I'm like, damn, what does he know? And I thought, wait, does he know something?
Damn. It's interesting because you're like one of this. It's a bitter-inducing business that we're in. You know, seeing people that are like worse than you get ahead or even just like on your own, like, why can't I get a break? Even when you do get breaks, you say, but like, from the outside looking in, I know you okay, but not that well. But like, you seem completely removed from that, like, bitterness. You seem positive and you're like, that guy's going to be good. That's great. Yeah.
That's what it is, though. I mean, because it's something about, like, become better, not bitter. So I feel always I got to do to get better.
Yeah.
And that drives me to stay in this game so fucking long. I got to just get better with what I'm doing. It's not what somebody else did. It's what did I do.
Right.
That responsibility is on you. And I got a son and daughter. I got to, you know, do this and do that, blah, blah, blah. Get that done. Don't do this. Pull back that way. And, you know, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good lesson. Even like, yeah. It's a good way to like, like when I hear those guys in Philadelphia, they look at you as just not a grandfather, but more of a leader. You know, with like you helped them all, and it was like it's just kind of cool. You just don't see that much. I don't know what happens to people.
Well, people just get what they get, and then you know do what they do. But yeah. I think it's just like, you know, so much good people out there. It's good people. If you recognize that, oh, this guy got something. Jay's one of the best storytellers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Jay is an amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
I wish he'd do more of it, but I think Jay can tell a story like nobody else.
Damn, it really is. It could be a 30-second happening. Yeah. It could turn into a 15-minute, like gripping thing.
Jay, that's his, you know, that's his thing. Jay's a fuck. He makes me laugh like ever. Jay is funny as itself, but to tap into that storytelling that he has, the ability that he has, is old school. You don't realize that, but that's some old school shit. That's what Woody Allen and them could tell a story because they had patience.
Yeah.
You know, they had that patience. That's what I loved about Woody, Bill Cosby. I love Bill Cosby for so much. No. Woody
Bill Cosby. You got to respect his game. Look, you might be against the sport, but he was one of the best.
But prior, because they took their time and told a story.
Yeah, you could like, even the way he sits, it's like, he's like, I'll get there.
Yeah, you just don't worry about it. Yeah. So you just come with him like, holy shit, that's discipline. Because we get used to the laugh, so we want to laugh here, laugh. Come on, I ain't hear no laugh in a while.
Yeah.
But they were just sitting back. You know, you hear Woody Allen talk about the buffalo or whatever. It's like, oh, my fuck. But that, to me, I love that more than anything.
When I started doing the storytelling show as a live show in L.A., and then, like, all my friends did it here or there. And guys like John Reap, I remember him going, like, so we're not used to doing it. You know, it's like kind of a new project for
muscle.
Us. Yeah, a new muscle, for sure. And Reap was like, dude, that's like 30 seconds with no laugh. I start to get like, I'll make a funny face or something. It's like, this is crazy. Like, how do you do? It's like, then you got to punch it up. But like, it's nuts. It's that feeling of like, how do you sit there and be like, it's okay. It's all right.
But that's why I love those guys. The guys that can sit back and tell a story. There's still no comics like that. But, you know, I still love George Carlin. He was more rapid fire, but he's my second favorite.
Really?
Prior George Carlin.
Dude, I heard that seven dirty words bit. We had an album. We had vinyl. I started getting records, and so I found it, and it was on there. I was like, oh, sweet. It's classic vinyl. And the bit's the last bit in the album, and the first nine bits are terrible. It's so bad. It's just like, remember this? And he has like bits about, and you're like, remember this? But then, man, when he hit it hard, it was like, fuck, that was good.
He got a lot of stuff, man. Colin has a lot of...
He put a lot of output, so it's
Jesus, he's so much. It's like, all right, I get it.
You're like, yeah. It just seems like an in-town set. That's your recording. Yeah.
But these guys was doing it, you know, they did it on a different level. And
they also had nobody driving them. They had no one to look to as like an inspiration. Like,
right.
Like we have Carlin to look at.
Yeah, we look at, got Carlin, Pryor, you know, Cosby, whatever. I seen Bill Hicks in 84.
How was he? How was he?
I didn't love him in 84. I was looking at, because everybody, even back then, was like, oh, you got to see this guy. And I'm like, yeah. And
I hated him. I didn't see him then. I knew about him after he died. But, like, man, it just seemed like he was trying to be, like, out there. And there was no, like, laughs.
But that's what I was looking at. I'm like, huh. But that's when I seen Jay Leno. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, holy fucking God. I don't care what you say. This motherfucker was like, bam, bam, smacked.
That's what they try to shit on Dane Cook. They're like, oh, he's this or this. I'm like, have you ever been in a room where he's on stage? He crushed. I'm like, you can say whatever the fuck you want about him, man. But Dane try and go on after him Dane and then talk about that.
Smash the room. Well, he did Boston comedy. And I, you know, like, I respect that. Would you, if you can command that crowd like that,
yeah.
Both Dane was sweating, whatever he was doing, that's all right, my man. Do what you do. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, certain. And certain guys I love, but the one that put the biggest impression on two of them was Sinbad and
Rock
and Jay Leno.
Oh,
as far as watching them on stage, Sinbad commanded 18,000 black folks.
That's tough.
Had them like this bending over, including me with my trash in them.
Isn't you that know, amazing when you trash somebody and then they're making you laugh and like, maybe I should not be trashing them. And they're actually
like,
works.
My cut girlfriend at the time, like, he's way better than you.
Way. Why you're going to have to say way. You're going to say better.
No, she was absolutely right. I couldn't even say she was you're absolutely like, right. I'm like, I'm no liar. I like, couldn't you can't go do fuck this. You. And, you know, but that's what I learned. And when I called her cunt,
yeah,
but that's what I learned. That's a white word to me. Because I called my son's mom, and you're a cunt. She started laughing at me. You're so white. Shut up, white boy. I'm like, I thought you. I braced for her to swing at me. She just laughed.
In this community, it is cool when you get humbled when you see somebody get crushed that you already like. That guy sucks, and then you're like, oh. All right, maybe I'm just not that good.
But that's when I learned to shut my stupid mouth. I'm like, I'm explaining comedy. Let me tell you about comedy. This guy right here.
It's that thing, though, where it's like when you're a young comic, and you, like you said, like, I'll never meet them, and you're brash, and you're just like, fuck this. And then as you get up, you're like, one, they're actually quite talented, that other person. And two, I'm actually quite not talented, you know? And then three, I'm going to meet them. So it's like, quit the brashness.
What am I doing? Because I look at Murphy, and Murphy's like, what he's had to carry at 19. 20,
that's nuts.
What he had, he carried the whole industry on his shoulders. I could never fucking do that.
Yeah.
This guy was so talented, but my dumbass Chris, you don't know about it. Murphy, blah, 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 what a fucking moron.
Yeah.
I still mad about that. Because you know how hard it is to carry a fucking whole SNL. He carried the whole SNL.
Led movies.
That's difficult.
And the stand-up. I mean, he was older than me. I watched it in sleepaway camp or listened to it. And we're like, what the... And I can't even... He was older. But looking back now, he was like 19.
He was a child. That's what I had to look back. Oh, my God.
And he was doing 5,000-10,000 seaters and doing the most popular albums of all time.
Right. I'll never be as good as Murphy. I had to go to my side. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, it's like, God damn it. What a moron.
Yeah.
That's me running my dumb yapping.
That's the same way I feel, too, where I'm like, fuck, what an idiot I am. What a fucking stupid fucking idiot.
Like, oh, boy. Well, now I learned during comedy so long and during, you know, that it takes a lot to do comedy on a higher level for a long time. It's just a lot. It takes a lot to even do what Murphy did, do what Chris Rock, do what Attell loves comedy.
Yeah, Attell loves comedy.
I've never seen nobody love comedy as much as Attell.
Yeah.
It's just like, Jesus, this guy, Attell, go home, go to sleep.
He's like, no, I'll go on late. I'll go on at 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday. I'm like, what? Yeah, you should be in bed in your home, like in Westchester.
Yeah.
Not living in Manhattan and having a family or something.
He's a blue collar guy. He wants to work.
It's cool to see the respect like celebrities give him because he's not that celebrity.
Right.
And so then it's like Chappelle come in. Chappelle's a massive comic. And he'll come in and he'll be like, gonna go on. He's like, hey, Dave, you been on yet? And he's like, no, not yet. He's like, I'll go after you.
And but they had a big thing one time.
What?
Because Dave Chappelle was on, you know, da da da, and Dave walked for, hey, come on.
That's a little bit. Well, cause, yeah, he's like, honestly, it's like, I might do 7 hours. So, like, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and do your 20 before this?
Dave was doing a lot of time. Dave was another one. Dave Chappelle is just like,
he seemed to stay loving comedy. What do you mean
he's the guy? He's the top comic in the country.
Yeah.
And, like, when I wrote on a show, on his show.
What'd you write on?
Chappelle Show.
Oh, cool.
The third season that was done. I'm the one that made him go to South Africa. No.
You're like, I just don't like this writing, Keith. I don't know how to tell you, so I'm going to go to another continent and another hemisphere.
Yeah, I got to get out of this shitty jokes you're writing. But I was just watching Chappelle, and, like, he told me a joke, right? And I'm like, oh, that joke is nice. It was my joke. He said, Keith, that's your joke. You remember the joke? I'm like, oh, fuck. I stink. He told me my joke back to me better than I could ever say it.
Damn.
I'm like, ah, fuck this
and
shit.
You're like, damn, you tell it well.
But he did it the way it was supposed to be done. My lazy ass would take a while to get to where he already was. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's how you know somebody got a little something special. You're like, ah, damn it.
He's a weird case, too, because he, like, not just went away physically for that time, but, like, in stand-up, at least in L.A. or New York, he was, like, he wasn't really working on material at all. Mm. So he'd, like, meander for a long time.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, I don't see, from what I've seen from other comics, I'm like, I don't think you can come back. It doesn't look like you're trying anymore. And then, man, he came back.
He got to love.
He is on fire with, like.
I think he got the love for it again.
You think that's what yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, you know, everybody doing that thing, and it has something to do with everybody doing that thing. Do you go, I got to make a mark that I'm supposed to make? And that's what he's doing.
I was watching me and List and Sarah and Louie were watching Bill Burr's special. Mm. Louie was like, come on over, let's all watch it. We did, and we were all laughing, but you could tell there was a little something of, it was just 2-3 years ago.
Right.
You know, 2 years ago of Louie going, fuck. I want to be up there doing it. So, like, this is not fair. So it, like, drives him to put out his own good special, you know?
Yeah, but that's what it was. It's like, okay, I got it. Yeah, I got to get back in there.
Maybe with Chappelle, where he sees, like, Louis and Byrne, all these people putting out, like, quality stuff. He's like, no. I got a spot on this podium.
Let me show you that I ain't going. But no, but Chappelle is just, like, he's a force.
He's also a nice guy.
Yeah.
Who, like, sort of seems to, like, look out for people, too.
Yeah.
It's weird. Not everybody has that.
No.
Not that should either, but not everybody has that.
Nobody, you know, it's like you do what you do. Yeah. But
you do it. He does it.
Chappelle is amazing. It's like when you got to admit that somebody's amazing because you still have in your head, I fucking take this guy. Yeah. Then you just gotta admit, God damn it, he's good.
He's so good that I still have a memory of like a quality set of mind following him. And I'm like, I did it well at the store. I turned the crowd, I got him on my side, and I'm like, that's what he means. It's still like he's amazing if you say, like, I followed it well.
Well, that's what it is. Like, comics, we still gotta have that ego inside that goes, wait a minute, all right. My ego has got me in trouble so many fucking times.
Oh, you help him in a place where they'll be like, dude, that guy works hard. You're way wrong. Like, really? He goes, you're way wrong. I'm like, fuck. I gotta go issue an apology. Fuck.
No, but, you know, I love comedy, man. And, you know, because basically all the guys that you see, you've been seeing them for 20 years, 30 years, or whatever. So they become family. All over the place, even whatever. Like me and William Stevenson always fought.
Yeah.
We always did. In 1986, I was at Improv on 49th Street.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, we here. This is good. He looked at me like, ugh. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Come on, William. Give me a moment. Let me have one moment.
Yeah, I was celebrating. Just, oh, this is going to be great.
And you're like, I will outlive you, William. I don't give a fuck.
I will barely outlive you.
Inch to the finish line, right behind you.
If it takes me in the war, I will fucking outlive your ass. That was, you know, in all seriousness, this is weird. But that was my thing, to outlive my dad. Because my dad died at 35.
Damn.
So I'm like, and I, of course I passed it, but you know, that was my thing. I got to outlive my dad. You know, that in the back of my mind. That's fucked up, but.
Yeah, because you thought you might not. Like, yeah, 35 is pretty fucking young.
You know, but you don't know when your dad is 35. It's like, oh, he's an old bastard.
And you don't realize he's young. Yeah, that was a young death.
Well, I'm thinking, like, fuck, I just got to outlive him.
It is cool when you see, like, these guys who, like, once you get over that. I had to get over that with the Comedy Store. Mitzi wouldn't pass me ever. And then eventually I would, like, get bitter at people. Like, how come you got passed? And I didn't. And then eventually it's like, it's not about them. It's just about not me.
Right. That's what you get to. Yeah. I got to do. Well, you know, 91.
Yeah.
I won them before Mitzi at the store.
How was it?
Good. I passed it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I passed it. 91. And I said, but. What? It's me with the cops, me, whatever, any kind of authority. She said, hey, get the fuck out of my way. I bet you the fuck you talking to. She's jarred. What the fuck I look like?
She's such a power position person. That she's like, you don't talk to me that way. Are you kidding me? In my world, I am God. I don't talk to God that way. That is nuts. What'd she do? She must have gotten mad.
No, she just started. She was jarred because I guess every other cop was like, yes, ma'am, will you get it? What the fuck you? What the fuck you talking to?
Is your name on the wall there?
No, I don't think so.
That's nuts. You gotta get something. We slip through a lot of them. Slip through the cracks.
I guess because I didn't live there.
I had my job once when I worked there was I had to go. They were like hadn't done a wall name painting for like 15 years, so I had to call all these comics. Like, is your name on the wall or have you been passed? People like Judy Gold and people like they weren't even in LA anymore. You slipped through the fucking cracks on that.
Yeah, but it was 91. I never.
You know who does not get passed? Robert Fat Fuck Kelly.
He didn't get passed.
She passed Norton and not him.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's still so mad about it. So he's like bringing it up with glee. He's still so mad about it. And now she's dead, Robert, and you'll never get passed by her.
Well, you know, what's funny about it is like, Lucian... Me and Wanda went there, did perform one after the other, and she failed us both. But I never got mad at shit like that. I just don't.
Really?
No. Damn. I'm like, because I work somewhere else. And now
I mean, that's the attitude you should have, but to have that attitude is nuts.
Because I guess, it's much more important shit.
True.
You know, so I'll work another club, and I'll work my way back to that club. Because you can always get better. But that's the whole thing. Get better, not bitter. So whatever he was, we have enough black eyes. And that's Lucian.
That's what he said?
Yeah, we have enough. And people hate Lucian.
Can you imagine these days saying we have enough black eyes?
But I love Lucian. Even though he told me one time, Keith, you was funny. Now you're just getting fat and jolly. I laughed for fucking 5 days straight. It made me laugh. Hey, fat and jolly. It was fucking funny. Like, God damn, that hurt.
I wish I was about someone else, but.
Yeah, but it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Dude, one time one of my earliest memories of you, we were in Austin at Moon Tower or South by Southwest. It was me, you, Jeff Ross, and Wanda. And we were, and somebody else too, but I don't remember them because they're not a celebrity. And they're like, and we were walking, some Karen, some like 45-year-old white lady, drives by because it's near the stadium, and she goes, do you guys know where the basketball court is or whatever, where the basketball stadium is? And we're like, oh no, we're not from here. And you just go, why are you asking me? Why are you asking a black person? And she was like, She was like, We laughed so fucking hard. He just made it about race. I'm like, there's two white people there. Like, doesn't matter. She'll be upset either way.
No, we didn't. Shit.
All right, let's wrap it up. You promoting anything? I'll put it in the intro, but... get the HBO...
HBO Max, baby. October.
It's in October?
Yeah, I think.
It's the drive-in special with... I'll find out where it is.
It's a drive-in special.
That's
what I'm calling. We're making a name up. HBO Max drive-ins. Colin Quinn's...
Who did it?
Drive-in special.
Colin hosted it?
No, Rich Voss hosted it.
Oh.
Colin closed.
They called it his special?
Yeah, what a son of a bitch.
Yeah, and Voss is like, why do I have to do all the work?
Voss is meant to host. Let's face facts. No, Voss hosted. Robert Kelly was on it. Soda. Dan Soda. Chris DiStefano.
Oh, nice.
Let me see. About four bitches. For those women. No, Sam J was on it. Yeah. Bonnie McFarlane, Marina, Franklin, and Rachel Feinstein.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. So I'll put this out when that comes out.
Yeah.
Put a link for it or something. But I'm glad I could get you in.
Nah, this is great, man.
Yeah. You're like this weird enigma in stand-up, dude. I don't know if people, like, you ever heard, like, what your place is there, but, like, a lot of people owe their starts and their success to you. It's a cool place to be.
Yeah, just working, man, working out.
I mean, it's like, when you see guys like Reggie start, you can see he's, like, about to get, like, you're going to make a living now, for sure, and, like, who knows how big you'll get. That's on you and on luck. But, like, you see them get there. And you must take some sort of personal, like, I did that. That's mine. It's like I grew up tomato plant, and it's giving fruit now.
I yell at all of them so much that all of them got a good yelling from me.
Dude, yeah. I was in Dallas. We got the rental car, me and Reggie, because we're going to go to a Cowboy game. Oh, you're a Cowboy fan, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Big Cowboy
fan. I was like, dude, we can get tickets to a Cowboy game. You're a fan. You open for me. It was like San Antonio, Dallas, and Austin, then drive back to Dallas for the fucking game. And we got the rental car in Dallas, and we started driving, and we go to where it is, and he, like, gets to the front seat. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, what? I'm like, I'm driving. He's like, what? I'm like, well, you're not driving. I rented the car. And he's like, oh, Keith always makes me drive. And I'm like, what?
Yell at him, son of a bitch, drive. Yeah. And then he drives horribly, and I fucking get out. I'll drive.
I didn't understand. Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Chris Cotton, I yell at Chris. We went on a road trip to D.C.
Yeah.
From New York to see Jermaine Fowler's special. He was taping a special. I said, we're going there. And I yelled at Chris Cotton so bad, he jumped up and go, fuck this, I can't take it no more. I'm sending the bad guy, shut up, stupid.
Yeah, I didn't know. Okay, Reggie was like, oh, I think that's a black comedy thing versus a white comedy. White comic's like, I get to drive, sitting there. And black comic's like, fucking drive me. All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot for coming in.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, great. I've been working too hard to give you a heart attack. You want to know by now. Who needs a house out in Hackensack? Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
All right, that's it, everybody. That's the fucking episode. Thank you very much to our sponsor. And don't forget to hit subscribe right there on the bottom. My YouTube account, I'm trying to get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. I got time, but fucking help me out. I should say, if there's other people you want and topics you want to hear, send a message. Send a message to, I have an Instagram account for the podcast, RIP Ari Shaffir, as well as a Twitter account, RIP Ari Shaffir. I don't run them, but my staff does. Kyla right now is running it. So she realizes her worth and moves on to a fucking better paying job. Yeah, say like, hey, how about this person and this topic? Not just this person, I want to get this person on, but like Keith Robinson, not just to have Keith Robinson on, and we want to have him on, but then he has a heart attack. I'm like, oh, I don't know anyone else who's had a heart attack. So maybe you can come explain it to me what it's like, because that's what this podcast is at its core, right? It's about fucking understanding a piece of the world that you don't know, that you don't know about. So he came in to do that. Now I know a little bit more about what a heart attack is. And over the next 6 months, as I smoke hella fucking too strong weed from South America, I will forget everything he's told me. That's the way of the world. you know what I really want to do one? I want to do one about cheating. But how are you going to get a guy to be honest about cheating? You'd have to be like, okay, I'm going to record this, and you can hold on to the footage for a year until your relationship's over, and then you got to give me the footage back. But you got to do it while they're in the relationship. Otherwise, they'll be like, I shouldn't have done that. I want to get an honest one. That's going to be a tough one. That pedophile, a rapist, rape victim. I've had a rape victim on. Yeah, just some certain people that I want to get like their views on things. People who fight dogs. I don't know what else. I almost got one about Hindus, and then it didn't quite work out. I need to get like three people. Akash. A couple other people. I forgot. I had a new guy who like knew about it. Well, this is all off topic. The point is Keith Robinson. Keith Robinson is the one. Put his name on the fucking wall, Adam. He's a paid regular. It's not fair. Put his name on the wall. Everybody hit up Adam Egan and be like, that's fucking bullshit, man. Put his name on the wall. Quit eating donuts, Adam, and put his name on the wall. That's it, you guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. So I was going to say that, or if you're watching the YouTube, hit subscribe, but also leave in the comments. Hey, what do you guys think about, tell the other people commenters, what do you guys think about this person, this topic? If you know that person, reach out for me. If you don't, I'll see a bunch of likes. There'll be a bunch of likes on a fucking suggestion, and then I'll get them. But I need a topic. I can't just be like, you know, get fucking, I don't know, whoever on. Get Bill Clinton on. It's got to be get Bill Clinton about being the person. Do you know Bill Clinton wrote a fucking book with fucking some real writer? I'll say it in one of my next intros. I'll fucking bring it. That's what I'll do. I'll go bring it. Bill Clinton wrote a fucking suspense novel. Next intro. That's what I'll do. Ladies and gentlemen, for Keith Robinson, I'm Ari Shaffir saying that's it for Skeptic Tank. Serious as a heart attack with Keith Robinson. I fucked up that outro. Anyway, that's it, you guys. Until next week, stay safe. Try not to have a fucking heart attack. Can you imagine having a heart attack? Can you imagine being like, ah, fuck, and then realize like, God damn it, I'm having a fucking heart attack. And especially if you're a comic, you're like, I'm going to get made fun of. For sure. For sure. I mean, no one's still listening. So I'll say the story. I'll just repeat it. Somebody crashed their car outside the Comedy Store into one of those fucking light poles, knocked the light pole over onto their car. And I mean, it was right in front of the Comedy Store. And it's late night. So the only comics there, they weren't like the fucking celebrity comics who weren't really that funny anymore. It was the fucking hungry young unknowns. Midnight, 12:30 on a Tuesday. And they just started ripping into this guy. It's bad enough you fucking crash your car. You're like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden you get out of your car in a daze. Oh, no, some people watching. Oh, no, they're comedians with nothing to lose. And they just start ripping him. Everybody just started ripping this guy. He's like, what the fuck is this? I mean, if he had a sense of humor about it, he probably would have laughed. But it's hard in that moment. You don't want anybody to know. You think about driving away. And then when that's not going to happen, you're like, yeah, shit. And then like, what? Shut up. And then it's like, it's not just two or three. It's more people join in. What's going on? Hey, we're ripping this guy. Just fucking crashed his car into nobody. Did somebody hit him? Yeah, the light pole came out of nowhere. That's some good times late night at the store. That's some good times. Oh, when hookers used to hang out. Oh, next episode. Ladies and gentlemen, serious is a heart attack. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank with Keith Robinson. Over and out. See you next week.